Picard. I have Black Ops 2.
Zebulon, okay.
You poor soul.
We should get Zebulon in here, just so that we can make fun of him.
I also got the top video game picks. Should we just put those after the news and before the fanfic?
Or should we do it first of all? The top video game picks is the prediction betting, isn't it, type thing?
Yes.
Swag. Yeah, we should totally...
Don't say that.
What? Don't say swag.
No,
say swag more,
word.
Say swag more.
What's wrong with swag?
It's a bad word, all right? It's not very good.
I say it ironically.
YOLO!
Oh, no. Someone,
yeah,
do you say there's Rolo?
Someone in my flat who says YOLO, like, semi-ironically. Like, not totally ironically, like, semi-ironically. And every time I just want to, like, I don't know, stab a whole bunch of people.
How do you say YOLO semi-ironically?
It's a good question.
Like, with a twinge of irony, but like, not completely ironic.
Someone in my class said YOLO once, and I thought he literally said Rolo, and I thought he was giving out Rolos and didn't share them with me, like, a whole day.
What a meeting.
This week on Gentlemen Discussing Vidya!
Why not just have Bill Gates as a bonus character?
I would play as Bill Gates.
His special move will be jumping over a chair.
Who cares?
I only play games for the challenge and the game score.
I only play games so that I can look at a guy's ass the whole time through.
Oh, he's grabbing. Oh, so cute!
My mum was drunk and she had a friend over, and they called me down to set up the SNES so they could play Mario All-Stars.
But
they were drunk and they couldn't do it, and they kept calling me down to do the levels for them, and eventually I told them, no, I don't want to do it. They were like, oh, we'll give you money if you do this level for us.
Okay. Taking advantage of drunk women.
I was like, this must be what it's like to be Korean.
I love this company!
Yeah!
Wait, your girlfriend made a kitten. Is your girlfriend a cat?
No.
Okay, should we move it along?
Welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. My name is Katzman, and with me today, Crystallis, who is in the shower.
Still in the shower.
I cannot fault the man for being clean. Doobie.
Hello.
Dodds.
Howdy.
Happy Man.
Hi.
Why? Why so depressed?
I don't know.
A happy time.
I'm sorry.
Man.
Video games. You're not looking for your name here.
I'm getting this together now.
Think happy thoughts. Juju.
Yo.
Moogle Pies.
Hello there.
And Zevrex.
Hello.
Ooh, that's Zevrex, I tell you. That's Zevrex. Before we begin, a little aside. Last week, we told you a story about Anita Saraskashra.
Sarkeesian.
Anita Saurus.
Or whatever her name was, being asked by Kickstarter to return money to the backers after not being able to deliver her final product. This was, in fact, a complete fabrication. It never happened. It was an invention of Zevrex's mind.
Indeed.
So, not only must he wear the hat of shame for the entire podcast, put on the hat of shame, Zevrex.
It's on. It's a dunce cap.
The hat of shame has been worn. One of today's news topics is going to be totally and utterly made up. And if you can smell it out, if you can rat out the git among the pigeons, I will reward you with 10 worthless internet points.
Have we stooped copying QI now? Is this a thing?
Well, you can't really redeem the worthless points, and I don't keep track of them, and they're totally given out at random. So yeah.
So QI, so then. Like, yeah.
Who's lying?
Yeah, this
can
is
I
QI.
Can I be Alan Davis?
I knew you would want to be Alan Davis. Anyway, the news. So the Wii U launched recently. I bet this probably isn't the made up one. From what I can ascertain, groovy menu music. 25 gigabyte round edge discs, no friend codes. Hey, better late than never. Has anyone here been able to touch one with their hands, and was it like touching God? Was it like touching God?
It was fun. I will give it that much.
It was fun.
I
the buzzword.
What did I play? I played New Super Mario Bros. U. I played Wonderful 101, and I played Pikmin 3, and all of them
How
were fun.
How was Pikmin 3?
Pikmin 3 was fun.
I will I can't say anything Wii U when Pikmin 3 comes out, probably.
It was a
Pikmin
game.
Pikmin.
With love HD Pikmin. Graphics, barely HD graphics, I suppose, but HD graphics. And
who gives a shit? Was it fun?
It was good. It felt good to play.
Who cares about fun?
No, who cares about graphics?
Who cares
I
about
only play games for the challenge and the gamer score.
I only play games so that I can look at a guy's ass the whole time through.
But no, it strikes me again as one of those, it's a bit like the Wii in that you're going to get the most out of it if you have more than just yourself to play it. Especially on things like Nintendo Land and especially Mario Bros. U as well.
But you didn't touch Nintendo Land, presumably.
I didn't have the chance to know. It was there, but the queues were absolutely absurd.
The queues? Where were you?
The Eurogamer Expo.
Oh, really?
Yes. That was well over a month ago now.
Oh, all right.
6 weeks odd.
It launched today, so I was like, oh, I wonder if he's got one.
No. I'm waiting until March or April. There's nothing at launch that I think is worth shelling out for it, to be honest with you.
Right, yeah. Well, it's I personally am of the opinion that it's kind of silly to buy any console at launch, even if it's slated to be the best thing since sliced toast.
Yeah. The only one I think I've done was the Wii, and that was because it had a Zelda game, and I love Zelda. Zelda is my thing. I will go to heaven and earth to get Zelda.
Yeah, but that Zelda game turned out to be the worst thing ever released until Skyward Sword, which was then the worst thing ever released.
I dispute this fact because I enjoyed the next Zelda game.
Well, you're not allowed to
Phantom
enjoy
Hourglass
both
was worse.
You're only allowed to enjoy the Zelda game that came out before last.
Fresh and rude.
But yeah, this seems to be a thing now. Like, you know, with the 3DS, you know, I unfortunately brought it at launch, and I only had like one game, you know, that I really wanted to play. So, you know, it wasn't until like I think over a year that I actually brought like two more games.
Yeah.
Well, the 3DS is finally at the stage where I would consider buying one now, because it's matured a great deal. It's got Scribble Nauts and the Scream Escape Adventures and all this stuff that's like,
yeah,
you
that's
know.
True.
And the Excel is worth it, because it's big enough to be actually playable.
But I still think it has some ways to go, though, you know, sort of.
Analog stick, please.
You know, if you look at, like, the titles in Japan, they've got waves more titles than we do over here.
Of course.
Although I think that's due to being a different market, you know. Their handheld market's bigger over there than, you know, outside of Japan.
More people, long commutes on trains.
Well, again, they're quite happy to shell out for Monster Hunter as well, because they adore it over there, it's their thing. So any machine that has Monster Hunter and is portable, they'll just buy it in droves.
Monster Hunter and Dragon Quest, isn't it? That's the two.
That's the big two.
And 3DS, does 3DS have, it probably will have if it doesn't yet.
I think it's got a Dragon Quest, hasn't it?
They've got a Dragon Quest 7 in development. They've got like a remake going.
They've had Monster Hunter since near the launch of the damn thing, though, so they've had that for a while.
They've had a Dragon Quest spin-off, I think.
Oh, really?
Monsters, you know, that series. Okay. So, but of course, we're not going to get it, because Japan hates us.
No, Nintendo Japan hates us, remember?
Capcom hates us, generally, actually, but yes.
Well, Capcom hates everyone, including the people who work for them, so don't worry about it.
Had a heart attack? That's fine, get back to work. Was it Aztec? Was it just a nervous breakdown, wasn't it, that Ono had? He just had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, nervous breakdown, that's the one. God bless you, Capcom. But the thing I was wondering about with the Wii U is the lifespan of the batteries of the controller. Because apparently, I've just heard rumblings that, like, it takes ages to charge up, and once it's charged, it doesn't give you very much time.
I can't imagine that would be the case, purely because Apple managed to make the iPad last a hell of a long time.
Yeah, but that's because the whole iPad, if you open it up, there's just like a tiny iPhone processor and just a massive battery in it. That's true enough. That's the secret to the iPad's battery life.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter so long as you can wire the damn thing up and charge it while you're playing it. I guess as long as you can do that, it doesn't matter too much.
It can't be wired while taking a shit, so it isn't that useful.
Because that, of course, is my priority when I buy a gaming system, to make sure I can play it on the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Is anyone else having problems hearing Ramal?
Yeah, I am so slightly.
I thought the whole unique selling point was putting the game on your controller, go to the toilet, and play from there.
Well, I found that that's only going to work if you've only got one wall between you and the machine, so...
Yeah, maybe.
How many games are you actually going to be able to do that? Because, you know, the main appeal is you're going to be able to use two screens similar to the DS.
Mm.
Play the guitar.
Yeah. I believe that Mario can if you're doing single player. I'm trying to think what else would. Technically,
he's gonna sing a song for us.
I mean, in the end, it's...
Oh, what's that tune? Who's on there? Is this your podcast?
It might be. Podcast, yeah. It might be. Who's asking?
What is happening?
Hello.
Oh man. And we just turned into like a musical section where we all just got like single the topics.
Can we have a music section? Is this the start of the 10?
Okay, that's all now. Thank you guys.
Coming.
Who's on the podcast at the moment?
No one. Leave.
No one? No one?
Sorry. So, back to reality, yes. Back to normality. Sorry about that. I should really lock my door when I'm having podcasts on.
Should we try to rewind the whole thing before we got interrupted?
Rewind.
Anyway. Well, how many games are you actually going to be able to play on the toilet? Because isn't the main appeal sort of having two screens, a bit like the DS?
Yeah.
You know, you can sort of use them both.
Well, no, yeah, the thing about that is that I think because they've got the whole, you transfer the game onto the little screen and do stuff with it there, that, like... You know what I'm saying? That most games will probably only utilize the second screen for, like, heads-up display and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Or just Wonderful 101 did not do that. Wonderful 101 required you to do touch screen gestures to form different weapons with your mob of people.
So you're not going to be able to take that one to the toilet to begin with.
And it transfers. When you go into a building, rather than being out in the open... It gives you an entirely new view and game type, I guess, third person platformer on the tablet screen. So
I don't know what Wonderful 101 is.
Kind of like Pikmin, made by the people that did Bayonetta, Mad World.
Naked Pikmin.
Basically, Pikmin made by Clover.
Oh, fun! Okay, down for whatever Clover makes. I will suck it up, even if it's terrible.
It's them that are doing it. It's Platinum Games, so it's Pikmin made by them, and it's really, really odd. It's very, very odd. There are giant robots, and you can turn a mob of people into a big gun. So yeah,
I think the probability of how well a game can be put onto the small screen alone is how important the second screen is for the game anyway.
Very
much. If it's not very important, then it can easily go on the small screen alone.
Mm.
Just let that sink in.
I'm letting that sink in. Sorry, I'm distracted by someone gave me Belvita breakfast biscuits.
And they're really good.
No.
You don't like them?
It's like eating fiber on its own.
More fiber.
So anyway, yeah, the Wii U. I don't know what to think about it so far, because it's just launched. It's got new Super Mario Brothers games and Pikmin, and it's
not, Pikmin's not out yet. So.
Oh, Pikmin's not out yet.
No,
it doesn't
it's not
have
launch
Pikmin,
game.
But it does have... ports of lots and lots of slightly enhanced ports of games that came out for other consoles a few years ago.
More ports.
Darksiders, Mass Effect,
Batman Arkham City, and Ninja Gaiden 3. They've done
Ninja Gaiden 3.
Version of that.
And Tekken Tag 2. Tekken Tag 2 is out as well, isn't it?
Ubisoft have done that a lot, haven't they? I thought.
Is it getting Assassin's Creed 3?
Yeah, I think it does have Assassin's Creed 3, or it will get
it's
it,
gonna
yeah.
Get Assassin's Creed 3 is going to get that, yeah.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Can't talk today.
Russian Fresh and Rick Rastabry.
But, like, I think most of us are probably going to get the Wii U at one point, because it's going to have a Smash Brothers game eventually.
Yeah.
And a Mario Kart game. And a Zelda game.
The minute Zelda comes on it, I'm going to be like...
My, yeah.
Smash Bros. Game is cross-compatible with the 3DS game, isn't it?
It would be cool. Well, they said that they want to do that, whether they will or not is another matter entirely.
Yeah, that cross-platform multiplayer games never really work all that well.
Not so far.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, Portal 2 worked.
I've never played Portal 2 with a
PS3
Portal 2
cross-platform
user.
With the PS3 on the PC. So you could PS3 and...
I didn't know that.
But yeah, I thought
if you bought the PS3 version, you got the PC version free, which is why many people bought the PS3 version, because they could get the PC one with it.
For Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Valve deliberately didn't do that, because updating it on consoles would be harder to do.
Hellish. Unless, of course, Sony let them do it in their own way, because if I remember right, Steam was supposed to be on the PS3 at some point, as in access to, like, the social side of the lists and
did that ever
stuff.
Happen? I don't remember.
I can't recall off the top of my head, I'll be honest.
I don't think it happened.
The point
it was
is,
the plan, certainly.
Smash Brothers, that is the point. Namco Bandai Smash Brothers, that is the
that
point.
That would be cute.
Yes, I remember hearing about this.
It's not entirely being made by Nintendo, which worries me because, I don't know, I'm not really a big fan of Namco Bandai.
On the other hand, they did fund Dark Souls and they do make Tekken, so they do have some experience with fighting games.
And don't they still have, is it Sakurai? You know, he's still heading the development,
Hal,
I believe.
Hal doesn't have Sakurai. Sora has Sakurai.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about Sakurai, though. He's kind of a jerk.
You're just mad at dripping, aren't you?
I'm just mad at what? No, I'm
just mad at dripping.
He's kind of a jerk. He's like the jerk.
He's cool.
He's the git among the pigeons of Nintendo.
Really? I've never heard that before.
He has like a bit of a reputation.
Hal is an amazing studio, though. On a very serious note, Hal is an amazing studio.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever they end up putting out is fine.
I think Sakurai, he's very adamant about like Smash Brothers not being competitive.
Exactly. He's adamant about games being for fun, which is fine, because he makes Kirby, for pity's sake.
Games
Kirby
being for fun? What are you talking about? That's a stupid idea.
MLG 420 Pro. No scopes.
Like the thing is that like he's like a bit too adamant about it. Like he doesn't, in a way that he doesn't care about balance among characters.
Yeah.
It's like, even when you're four people on Rumble Falls or whatever, Meta Knight is still going to win.
Yep.
And that's kind of a
like
problem.
I do like how he made all the Kirby characters really appallingly good.
Oh, it's yeah. The Kirby characters have been the best ones all the way through.
And the fact
every
that
time.
The story
Kirby
of...
was the best in the first Smash Brothers, not so much in Melee.
Yeah. It just amuses me that the story mode, Subspace Emissary?
It's all about
was basically
Kirby characters.
Kirby, the fan fiction.
Yeah,
it
read like fan fiction with no words. It was just like Kirby was walking through the woods, and then Link was there, and then Princess Peach was there, and then they all went on a spaceship.
And then Kirby blew up the spaceship with his dragoon in the end.
That seems pretty good, though. That seems great.
Snake in his box as well, yes, that's true.
Yeah. I still, every time I look back at that, it's just so surprising that, you know, Snake in Smash Brothers.
Mm.
No, it isn't. Like, I thought Kojima had always liked, you know, he'd always liked Nintendo and he always liked Smash Brothers. And he really wanted. The thing that would have surprised people in 1999 is the fact that Sonic the Hedgehog is in it.
Yes, that's true.
Which is a testament to how low he's fallen, really.
Yeah, but we already saw that with Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, you know.
Well, they already had
a crossover before that, so the impact was a bit softened a little bit.
But you're right, it was crazy. Like, I still remember the trailer from back then. Like, newcomer, Snake. Holy shit. Oh my god.
Does anyone remember Japan time? Seriously?
So, I think for the next Smash Brothers, they really have to do something like that, otherwise it'll just be a disappointment.
Can you imagine how bad Japan time is going to be now, though?
Mega Man Plus. It'll be on Facebook. That's what it will be on, among other things.
I want fucking Earthworm Jim. Give me Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim, he's such a groovy guy. Earthworm Jim.
I was streaming Bayonetta today and yesterday on the site, and people are saying that Bayonetta is going to be in the next Smash Bros. Because Bayonetta 2, of course,
whole
is
Nintendo
a Wii U exclusive.
Thing, yeah.
No, it's not.
You think?
Don't be silly.
I don't know. Stranger things have happened. I wouldn't put money on it, though. I would put money on, like, Pac-Man being in there.
Oh, Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Cowboy Boots Pac-Man, hopefully. He's the best.
Probably some Tales of characters, if Namco Bandai is.
I don't
know. There will be clones of Marth and Roy.
Oh, yeah, and I hope that they really just either, like, because there was this interview where they were like, yeah, I think we're going to focus on perhaps having a smaller roster and making the characters more unique, rather than adding in, like, oh, hey, I'm Ganondorf, I'm a clone of the second worst character of the game, only I'm worse than him, hello. I get a sword, but I never use it in any of my attacks. Seriously.
On the other hand, I do turn into a giant boar, and then you move across the screen and stuff, so yeah.
They're always better no about clones than Melee, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Melee was pretty bad.
Dr. Mario, you're having a laugh, mate. Why is that even a separate thing?
Because Dr. Mario is awesome.
Yes, maybe.
I've always wondered why they couldn't, you know when you can click on them and change their costume? Why didn't he just change his costume to Dr. Mario? Similar to how, like, on Brawl, you can... It's only slightly different, but why couldn't you do that, say, with, like, you know, how you could do it with Wario? He goes from, like, classic Wario to WarioWare.
Yeah, that's true.
Waluigi, please. Just Waluigi. That's fine.
Waluigi. Waluigi has the best appearance in Brawl, though, because all he does is come onto the screen and curb stomp someone.
Bam, 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 bam.
Waluigi is an amazing character, and I don't think the Nintendo even realise how amazing what they've created is.
He needs his own game. Did anyone ever play Mario Strikers Charged on the Wii? Did anyone ever play that?
No, I don't think they did.
Footy game.
It's a footy game, but every character has their own wacky little special moves. Waluigi's wacky special move is wherever he runs, he leaves a big, like, wall of thorns behind him, so you can just hem yourself in a massive maze of thorns, and then just do the best move in the game, which is the super shot straight at the goal, and get about 7 goals at the same time, which I think is incredible.
7 goals at the same time?
Yeah.
What kind of soccer is this?
What?
It's the kind of soccer where you hit a ball, and somehow it turns into 7 fireballs while it's in the air. That's
multi-ball!
The kind of game it is. Yeah. It's Waluigi. Wah! Wah!
Okay. Should we move it along?
Or we
just start devolving into Waluigi chat, because he's amazing, I know, but...
is Microsoft making a... Is Smash Bros. Too? Like, Sony's on it?
Well, I hope they do, yeah. We Microsoft. Need more Smash Bros. Clones that aren't apparently very good, because...
What would Microsoft even have?
Halo guy.
Halo guy.
Halo guy.
It has Halo, and it has, Mr.
Fable?
Call of Duty.
Fable? Don't forget
They've
Fable.
Got Call of Duty DLC. Can we have a Call of Duty DLC character?
What about Gears of War guy?
Marcus Fenix. Yeah, you can have Marcus. I'll tell you what, we can have Master Chief and the guy that you can have 6 from Halo Reach. They're clones
of
each other.
6 guys from
right?
Halo Reach.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you can have those. They're all clones. And you can have Marcus Fenix, and you can have all the other people from Gears of War, and they're clones of him as well. And it's just those two characters.
Could I have the dude from Sweet. Deadly Premonition?
Mm-hmm. They can pick stuff from PC exclusives too, like, if there was any.
They don't have any. Well, none of them are Microsoft. This
PC
is the point.
Games published by Microsoft Game Studios, though, because lots of them come out with games for Windows
Fable.
Live,
Fable
and I refuse
character.
To buy them.
Fable character.
Fable dude.
Was Nier on the PlayStation 3? If so,
yeah. Yes, it was.
It was.
Oh, okay. I was going to say they could ask Beg Square.
There are so few Microsoft exclusives. It's not even funny. I'm looking at it now. Just
they've
on my
got
shelf.
Some cool stuff on Xbox Live Arcade, though. They've
That's
got like
true.
The Twisted Pixel stuff and all that.
Yeah.
And I was so
Braid guy.
Literally, Braid guy. He's not exclusive.
He's not anymore, is he?
I literally wet myself when they said that Trials HD was finally coming to PC because I'd been so jealous. Like, why does 360 get
I want
HD?
More Trials. Trials are so fun.
That game, man. I played it like the original ones that had like 2 courses in each game and ran in like a Java applet inside.
How many bones did you break, Kat?
Internet Explorer 6.
Wait,
I broke
I got
more
it.
Than my bones.
I
know that much.
Final boss on the Microsoft Smash Bros. Would be like a blue screen.
we don't have proper blue screens anymore with Windows 8. Now we get like...
Why not just have Bill Gates as a bonus character?
I would play as Bill
Gates. His special move would be jumping over a chair.
Yeah, but Bill...
damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
His ultimate move is unblockable. He just gives you so much money that you have to leave. That's it. It's just, I just don't care. You lose. Take this money and go.
Do you remember when Bill Gates appeared in Doom?
Yes, I do.
Distress.
and he shot a zombie in Doom.
Great.
And then he just went back to talking about DirectX like nothing ever happened. Like, damn, that guy's cool. Okay, if Microsoft made a Smash Bros. And Bill Gates and Steve Sweaty Balls Ballmer were in it, then I'd play it.
He'd make a wonderful character.
And Steve's special move is yelling, "Developers!
Developers!
Developers! I love this company!"
Yeah!
Right, that went downhill really quickly. Should we move on?
What do you mean went downhill? It was fine. That was a fine segment. I don't know.
No, it wasn't.
Insomniac Games pay idiots to play their
You're
games.
You're downhill, Muggle.
Insomniac Games
I am.
Pay idiots to play their games and make them worse. In a shocking revelation, Insomniac's Brian Allgaier reveals that their new game Overstrike, which has been in development for some time, recently took a change in direction. It was originally going to be a stylized, slightly sort of campy shooter game with a tongue-in-cheek storyline. But focus testers disagreed, saying the game felt like a game for their younger brother, and it wasn't grimdark and mature enough. He says that lots of their focus testers said this, even 12-year-olds. So,
you know...
12-year-olds playing shooters, discuss.
You were asking why I was so depressed at the beginning of this, this is why.
There you go.
Insomniac Games listened to these 12-year-olds, and they're now making a game with a more gritty, realistic tone. The game's now full of realistic gore, with enemies exploding into meaty chunklets, spraying blood everywhere, having their necks broken. The game's protagonists are no longer a ragtag team of chirpy compadres a la Left 4 Dead. They're a brooding bunch of dudes with a dark history, like former LAPD cop Jacob Kimball, who locked some dude who killed some children in the back of a car and burned him alive.
How lovely.
So yeah, it appears that video games are now entirely officially made for exclusively for children who only play them to look cool.
Was the was that focus test for that 12-year-old, was his feedback basically pointing at Call of Duty with slavering mouth and eyes sort of glazed and going, "What that?" Was it basically that?
What that?
What that? Was it basically that?
I assume
that sounds
so.
Exactly what it was.
I mean, like, I listened to that in the podcast with the ex-Insomniac developers talk about their experiences making Ratchet and Clank, and it's very clear that they are just completely at the behest of focus testers. Like, they just do everything focus testers tell them, basically.
That is distressing. Whereas on the other hand, on that sort of note, you've got the Devil May Cry people at Ninja Theory who essentially look at the focus testers as the fans of the original series and go, "We're just going to ignore you, okay?"
Surely there is some happy medium between listening to your fans and making something that you're happy with that doesn't feel like you're just trying to please everyone and please no one at the same time.
Well, again, I have no real issue with Ninja Theory because I thought Devil May Cry when I played it, your game was fine. It's fine. It's not going to be really great Devil May Cry, but it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
Hey, are you not jumping on the Ninja Theory hate wagon?
Nope. I can jump on the Tamim hate wagon because he said some really asshole-ish things, but
can
not really.
Can you at least jump on, like, the character hate bandwagon?
No, not really. I can jump on one particular bit, which is that he swears far too much and is completely unnecessary. There's one brilliant example in one of the recent trailers where he goes into a nightclub and it's a demonic nightclub and all the patrons are demons or being brainwashed into demons, whatever else. So he leaves and the bouncer goes, "Hey, your name wasn't on the list," hits him in the face, takes the clipboard from him, writes the words "fuck you" on it and flings it back to him and says, "It is now."
Dude, it's imagine if thing. Your name was "fuck you."
Exactly. What's your name? "Fuck you." Sorry. But yeah, again, I don't see the need for all of the swearing. It does actually come back to, there's an interview with one of the ex-designers at Ninja Theory when they were making Enslaved, where they said, "How do we make this character interesting and badass?" And their idea was that he would curb stomp someone scrabbling on an edge, trying to get up off the top of this cliff, and they thought that would make him look badass. And the comment from this designer was, "No, it just makes him look like a twat." But they weren't really listening, so I don't think they quite get character design, to be honest with you.
I wish people would stop trying to make things badass.
Yeah, I think, again, though, it's a really vague term. What makes something badass? I mean, the argument is that Dante in the original Devil May Cry was badass because he went and did cool things that were really over the top.
It's like
has the meaning of badass changed?
YOLO,
has it
you know?
Turned into curb stomping in Gears of War where you just put your boot over someone and you just smash it down as hard as you can and guts go everywhere and it's all horrible. I don't know.
I just wanted to say that I never really played the Devil May Cry game, so it wasn't the idea of Dante always that he's badass?
Yes, very much so. He seems a bit like a twat sometimes. But broadly, I can understand what they've tried to do. They've tried to take it in a different direction. And I can understand that. And I think if you're given the reins to some sort of really popular series that you've looked at and you've said, yeah, I really like this, if you're given that all of a sudden, you want to make it your own thing. You don't want to go and do what the original developer did.
You're right.
10
you don't
want
to just
now.
Make a yeah, fan that's game that's yeah. inferior to the original.
Well, this is it. In the interviews with the designers at Ninja Theory, they basically said, when Capcom gave it to us, we gave them our initial ideas for the new Dante, and it was basically badly drawn fan art of current Dante, of old Dante even. And basically Capcom said, that isn't what we're looking for. So eventually they came up with this portrait of Dante with the black hair and the vaguely sort of beaten up face, smoking a cigarette, and they went, yeah, that's it. That's exactly what we were looking for.
Said, yeah, but that's asking Capcom. That's like the worst company to ask, the worst people to ask
is it?
Ever.
Is it? But they made the originals, so...
He used to wear, like,
yeah,
a red
Capcom
coat and no shirt,
the
and they managed to make him more gay, you know? It's like, how the fuck did they do that?
Oh, excuse me.
Well, it's the same company, but it's not the same people.
That's very true.
I was about
that's
to say,
true.
You say Capcom made it, but, you know, some of the people who have actually left the team who made Devil May Cry... One of them's like Kamiya, who's actually working on Wonderful 101.
Yes.
So you know, obviously he's not there, and he's gone and done Bayonetta, which was great fun, might I add.
Yes, too.
Have you guys
doing
all
it recently,
seen
and everyone's
the...
been very happy with it.
Have you guys all seen the official artwork where he's standing in this bathroom and putting a finger in his chest?
Oh, this is woo. New Dante with taking the bullet out for the first time.
I posted it in Rumble, and I don't know. He pretty much embodies the like character change.
Yes. Yeah.
From old Dante to new Dante.
My skin.
Oh my god, he looks so like he doesn't look like he's in pain so much as he just looks like he's upset about like not being able to go out with
my
his
god.
Friends and
what
listen to emo
fuck?
Music.
You know what annoys me? On the wall it says, there's one that says war and there's another one that says anarchy makes sense.
Yes.
And anarchy is spelt wrong, I think.
It doesn't.
On the other hand,
but, see, that's the anarchistic thing, you know?
I talked about this picture.
Spelling
with,
is too conformist.
On the other hand, they also did this.
I talked with R&T and Sean and Debrell about this picture yesterday, and someone pointed out that all the graffiti that you see in the mirror should actually be mirrored, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They have a point there, don't they?
Well,
yeah.
People who draw concept art never understand mirrors,
yeah.
ever.
Again, but again, there's what I linked just now, which is actually quite a good piece of art. But
I like to notice that the faucet head looks like it's going into his pants.
yes, it does. Or is it coming out, perhaps?
Oh my god.
What is this guy doing? What is he doing?
What, in which one?
In either of them.
I think being assaulted by angels in hot pants.
Angels in hot pants, and he's like pointing at one of them for some reason.
Because that authority, man, he hates authority.
And there's like a nightclub in the background, and there's broken glass on the floor, and they're not wearing any shoes, so they're going to get glass in their feet, and
that's
that concerns
true.
Me.
Again, you made this point a second ago.
Dangerous.
Concept art designers don't really know how the world works. So
I think I heard somewhere that the story for the game is going to be Dante. He's like, his parents were, one was a demon, the other one was an angel. And
yeah.
He looks like little Nicky.
Well, he looks like that.
That's all I can think about whenever I see it. It's just little Nicky. I'm just like,
oh dear.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign.
But no, I played it a year ago. It was all right. So the game will probably end up okay.
But Overstrike, possibly not so much.
Yes, I can agree with that. Having heard what you said,
isn't Overstrike hasn't Overstrike got a new name as well? It's like Fuse or something more generic.
Yeah,
let's make it as generic as we can.
I mean, I think Left 4 Dead personally struck a great balance between like a sort of dark, brooding zombie atmosphere, but then you've got the characters who are all happy-go-lucky and they say funny things like stairs are good exercise, and you know,
Pussy.
and it's a fun thing to play, and it's fun to play as them and hear what they say, and you know. And I like characters that I can empathize with, and I'm sorry, but if you're Jacob Kimball and you lock some dude in the back of a car and burn them alive, then I'm really going to have trouble connecting with you as a protagonist.
I can't say that is something that I would also do.
I know that guy feels.
Dodds, I seem to recall that you were once in a focus group for something.
Oh, I think I actually did it twice. I think it was more market research or something. I don't know. One time they were talking about. Remember, like that ripoff of Action Man, Max Steel.
Yeah.
Well, they were like trying to sell like Max Steel to me, and I was like, well, you know, he's pretty cool, but can he get like rollerblades or skateboards and stuff? Because they were sort of going for this extreme market. So, like Max Steel, he didn't have like guns and stuff. He got like rollerblades and skateboards and grappling hooks. And he did rock climbing. Another one was it was for a cereal, and basically they took this cereal from over in America. I think it was like Powerpuff. Cereal, Powerpuff Girls cereal with marshmallows in.
We were
all boys and we're like, nah, we don't like this. You should put something cool on there, like Pokemon. And then, like, I think it was like a year later, we got Pokemon cereal with marshmallows in.
Oh, man.
So there's the story Dodds ruined some shitty knockoff of Action Man and Powerpuff Girls cereal.
Action Hank, man, that's what you want.
They paid me in toys.
What did you get? Did you get good swag?
I got like Hot Wheels stuff. It was really cool. I used to like put them on ramps and fire them across the room at my dad while he was reading the newspaper.
I bet he was very appreciative.
So, John McAfee, the pioneer of shitey antiviruses, is a prime suspect in the murder case of a Mr. Gregory Viant Fall, a builder who quarreled with the shitty antivirus pioneer over some dogs. Fall had previously accused McAfee of firing guns and exhibiting roughish behavior.
Oh dear.
McAfee is kind of a dodgy, shifty, shitty antivirus baron, having ties with gangsters from Belize and spending much of his free time getting high on purified bath salts.
Oh dear.
And I've got a long-ass quote from him here, which he talks about, like, how to make MDPV and how you should always administer it by putting it on your middle finger and shoving up your ass.
How wonderful.
Gizmodo Reader 5715 says it's serious shit, would explain his paranoia. You start seeing shadow people in the corner of your eye, which amphetamine heads call tree cops.
Lovely.
So yeah, shadow people. My only question is, will his trial be free and last more than 3 days?
I wasn't going to say it. Kill yourself.
Yeah, I will. Right after this.
I don't get it. I'm serious, I feel really slow. Someone explain it to me.
Free 30-day trial.
Antivirus.
Oh, I
realization
get it.
Dawns.
That was
the
bad.
The cogs were into motion slowly.
Now they'll never catch him. He's using McAfee mobile security.
I was too busy thinking about this story I read about this, where apparently when he saw the cops come, he actually hid himself in like sand and put a box on his head so he could breathe, and they didn't find him for like 4 hours.
Is that like that Saddam Hussein, holy shitter?
Like, I'm reading the thing here, and there's a quote he says, it was extraordinarily uncomfortable. And, you know,
he's just saying how it was uncomfortable to be in sand with a box on my head while hiding from the police.
Yeah, but, you know, as I said, he's pretty paranoid. He said, but they will kill me if they find me. Presumably, he, like, talked to a reporter before he was caught or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Interestingly, he may very well have been framed by either police or the drug lords in the area, because he's sort of competing with them, both of them. Aside from the whole secret drug labs and putting things up his bum, he seems like a pretty down-to-earth guy. I don't know.
Fair enough.
But the police over there are pretty danged corrupt, so just because they're chasing him, it's no guarantee that he actually murdered someone.
He looks crazy at least, so I don't know.
Oh, he looks crazy, like, so he must
be. He could
be.
Kill someone. Yeah. That's
a good indication.
That's fair.
I don't actually know anyone who uses McAfee antivirus, but I should tell them. I should say, you're supporting a man putting drugs up his bum next time I see them. Halo 4's executive producer, Kiki Wolfkill. Kiki Wolfkill has denounced sexism, as I suppose he'd be quite right to do. Wolfkill said to GameSpot that there would be literally zero tolerance for players who made sexist or discriminatory comments on Xbox Live, with a lifetime ban from the network as penalty. It can be dangerous to give adolescents a broadcast mechanism, she says. There are always going to be jerks out there, and if you give them a way to express that side of their personality without being seen, you're going to see this type of behavior manifest itself. Wolfkill says, this behavior is completely unacceptable and offensive. I'd like to think that most of our Xbox Live players don't support this kind of behavior.
Is Wolfkill a woman?
Yeah.
Yes.
So where the fuck do we care?
I care. I'm
so
very...
It's still okay if one calls 12-year-old boys bitches, but not if I say that to a woman who plays, right?
Of course.
My only comment,
okay.
Really, on this is that what she's done is look at the terms of use for Xbox Live and gone, okay, I'm just going to read out this, and then we're done. That already exists on Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As you can quite easily see by going to, I think it's whywasibanned.com
or something
like that. Oh,
that's a brilliant website. Oh, it is a brilliant website. Where you get all the people on the forums whining like, I was banned, I was using a hack, but they said it was undetectable, so I don't know why I've been banned.
My personal favourite is the parent, the concerned parent who writes in going, why was my son banned from Xbox Live, blah, 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 blah. And the only response is, your son exposed himself while playing Uno.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest,
the best.
Why else would anyone play Uno on Xbox Live other than to get their dick out?
Exposed himself on camera while playing Uno online. Outstanding.
So does the game have a function to show your camera, or is it a general Xbox thing?
I think it's a general Xbox thing.
I don't have an Xbox.
But seriously, that's like,
no,
I thought
think
that was the
all
purpose
games.
Of Uno.
Okay. So yeah. it's not like the maker of the Uno game built in a feature to turn on your cam. Okay, good.
I think people on Xbox Live can be jerks, and
oh, absolutely.
You shouldn't just like have to deal with that just for being a lady who plays video games. But I mean, this is just like, really? Are you going to really be able to purge Xbox Live of sexism? Do you really?
Well, this
think
is it. They already do it. Whenever they find it, they deal with it. And there's a zero tolerance policy where if they can accurately say, yeah, this person said this and this at this time to this person, then they just ban you, and it's instant, and it's permanent. I don't quite understand the need to reiterate it unless she's trying to make a point for some other reason.
It must have been a slow news day.
Must have been. By the way, it's not a bad thing. Not a good thing either, but not a bad thing. It's telling us things we already know, I guess.
Okay, so we already know it, but is it fair to ban someone permanently for something like that? Because, you know, sometimes stuff can be misinterpreted. Some people are obviously, you know, acting like jerks, but, you know, sometimes, you know, a joke can go, you know, way past the limit and, you know, sometimes took a bit far when you didn't actually mean much harm. Should you be permanently banned?
Sorry,
yeah, so what are the terms that get you banned?
Well, the idea is that you can only do it by written messages. You can't do it for voice messages, I think.
Really?
Oh.
So they can only do it if they can prove it, because they store all the messages that get sent on the network. So if you send a message to someone saying, you're a bitch, whatever, go back to the kitchen, whatever, I don't know, general rudeness, that's blatantly just sexist rudeness, then they catch it and they can actually say, okay, this is this, and you did it for this reason, you did it because she was a woman. And I don't think they can really do it for voice.
Yeah, but what if it's just general trash talking, you know? Yeah, it's not always nice, but you
know. That's not in my trash talking repertoire.
I think it has to be specific. Specifically, it has to be discriminatory for some reason. So it can't just be, we're going to kick the shit out of you, or whatever. It has to be specific.
Like, oh, so kind of go back to the kitchen and make me a sandwich?
Something
know,
like that,
that.
Yeah.
People say that are dicks anyway,
if
so.
If you say that, like, if you're a chef and someone says that to you, can you report them for that?
Is that a hate crime?
Just say, only if you pay me.
It's not such
I'm a
good comeback.
I'm a three-star Michelin chef. I do not care.
What if I just type nigger? Will I be like fucked you on the account,
yeah,
or just woman feel offended?
That strikes me as a pretty obvious one there, to be honest.
Yeah, people get really mad.
What if you are a nigger? You know, not trying to be offensive here.
Not trying to be offensive here.
I'm not racist, but...
And you sort of come in, you go, oh, my niggers! You know, because you mean your homies, because you're part of the hood or something like that.
Dodds, please, please. I'm cringing so hard right now, you have no idea.
Please never speak again, Dodds.
No,
you'd be a really shitty gangster.
Did you know the Tim Mitchin song Prejudice? Because they really should. It's very related. Obviously, you can't do it now. However, if you get the chance afterwards, I would really recommend going to watch this, because it's very good. Very good.
You say I wouldn't be a very good gangster, but didn't Snoop Dogg and Biggie Smalls go to private schools?
That would make me amused.
But you didn't go to a private school, so why is that relevant?
So, that's a good question.
That make me the opposite of gangster?
I don't know, Dodds. I don't know what the rules on being a gangster are. I can't tell if someone's black just by talking to them over the mic, so I don't get how you could, like, accurately be racist over Xbox Live.
I think it's general use of racist terms, I'll be honest with you.
So not, like, directed racist terms, just, like, randomly spewed.
I think if you used the N-word, just, yeah, it'd be pretty much clear-cut. You're using the N-word. Stop it.
Okay, what if you send them a photo and you prove that you're black and thus you're allowed to use it?
I think that still doesn't allow you to say, all those people should die or something.
But it's apocryphal, but only black people can use the N-word. I think it's pretty much, yeah.
What if you call someone gay and you're gay?
Oh, shit.
How can you prove it? Do you have to, like, go to Microsoft and have sex with someone?
Yeah, you have, like, yeah, no, you send them a picture of you kissing a man.
I remember ages ago, some guy got banned from Xbox Live because he lived at a fort in America called Fort Gay.
Oh, Lord, and, yeah, of course, yeah, that was one.
And they didn't bother checking whether it was a real place or not, and it was actually a place.
They reinstated his account, if I remember right.
Yeah.
That's one of the very, they don't often do that to people, but if you can prove that you had a good reason for whatever it was that you put on, then yeah.
It's kind of like, I might have mentioned this before, when Pokemon Black and White came out, there's a Pokemon called Cofagricus, and you couldn't trade that over the internet because it had fag in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, Nintendo.
Yes. Oh, Nintendo.
They're very politically correct. They really are.
Aren't they?
Well, they're perhaps slightly less politically correct than they used to be, but they're still pretty bad for it.
Yeah. Well, you say that. They released some pretty odd stuff on the NES. Like, in the late 80s, early 90s, there was some pretty odd stuff that they did.
What do you mean, some pretty odd stuff?
I think it might have been Bionic Commando has Hitler in it.
Yeah, it has Hitler's exploding head in it.
It has Hitler.
And it has Hitler as a robot, and his head explodes at the end.
Yeah.
And they thought that parts of that might offend people, so they changed all the swastikas to a different symbol and changed his name, but he still looks like Hitler and his head still explodes.
Also, the Nazi soldiers are called the Bads with two Ds.
Oh,
that's pretty great. Yeah.
That's how you know they're gangster, I think.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, they've not always been politically correct. Sometimes they can go off on the deep end, or they used to at least.
Isn't Hitler also Wolfenstein?
Wolfenstein,
is in Wolfenstein. Yeah. Also, that has Mecha Hitler, that's right.
That was Mecha Hitler, yes.
Yeah, but that was an independently distributed game, so, you know, they could get away with stuff like that.
It was on Super Nintendo, though, as well, wasn't it?
I think they had to remove everything for the SNES release as well, though.
So. Is that including that big maze shaped like swastikas?
Oh, yeah, they removed lots of stuff, and, I think id Software are really mad, so they sold their source code to Wisdom Tree, and Wisdom Tree made that knockoff game where you're, like, Noah in the Ark, and you get goats with slingshots.
I saw that.
I remember that.
But no, Nintendo were a little bit odd in the sort of late 80s, early 90s. And they then went whole hog with family friendly. And then they didn't stop until the early 2000s when they got Resident Evil back again. But yeah.
So, last podcast, I hit you dudes with a Kickstarter that I think you should all back. By the way, it reached its funding goal, yay! And all that. Anyway, today I'd like to warn you about an Indiegogo that you shouldn't. It's called Grimoire, Perils of the Winged Exemplar. And it's made by possibly the most obnoxious game developer I've ever seen. You know, Phil Fish, Ed McMullen, Bob from Bob's Game, if anyone remembers that. They're all saints compared to this guy. Also, Bob's Game, it never happened, did it?
Never I remember mind. Bob's Game.
Is Ed McMillan the guy that did Super Meat Boy and Binding of Isaac?
He's the guy who's just rude to people on Twitter for no reason and claims that all his games are perfect, even when people, like, you know, do MySQL injection and ruin all the scoreboards and go, no, it's not perfect, look.
Where is he?
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk.
He makes lovely games, though. He does make lovely games.
I liked Isaac, and... but I really didn't like Meat Boy.
I love Super Meat Boy. I adore Super Meat Boy. He's making a game about cats next, so...
Ooh, cats. Wins. I like cats.
Making a game about cats. That's his next game. He's released a couple of screenshots.
What's your favorite cat game?
Cat Poke.
Yeah, Cat Poke's great.
No, cat-related game. That's very, very difficult.
Cat Planet.
Cat Poke or Cat Planet? Cat Planet.
On the other hand, in Zelda Twilight Princess, you can pick up cats and carry them around. And
true.
That's fairly awesome.
Yeah.
So...
but that's not really a cat-related game.
My favorite cat-related game is Shenmue.
Oh, yeah.
Love that cat.
Oh, the cats in Shenmue are the best video
No More Heroes has a pretty awesome cat. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's even better in No More Heroes 2.
Agreed.
Because it teaches you a move.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, there's not enough games about cats. We need more.
What if I told you I had a favourite cat-related developer?
Go on.
Basically, there's a developer on the iOS, which are the only ones I don't hate chronically, called Rocket Cat Games, and they've made really fun games.
And they're all about cats?
No, they're not about cats.
Oh. That's a shame.
The developer is called Rocket Cat Games.
On the other hand, you can, on iPad, you can get a computer game for cats, where it randomly puts things that cats can paw at on the screen, and they can pat them.
Yeah, but, like, cats don't really enjoy video games that much.
On a related note to this, has anyone been looking at the kitten stream over the last few days? I know
a
couple of people in chat.
I saw it the other day.
Oh, it's so good. Cats, you might have missed out on this one.
The kitten stream?
There's basically someone has, their cat's had kittens recently, so in the room where they've set the cat and the kittens up, they've put a webcam in there, and it's just, all day, it streams the entire room.
That's pretty neat.
I think it started like 3 or 4 days ago, but I discovered it yesterday.
Reddit, of course, discovered it, and it went viral, so.
Yeah.
Oh, there's kittens, and they're so cute! Look at them, they're sleeping!
Hey guys, look at this kitten my girlfriend made me for Christmas. It's shaped like a Nintendo.
Oh.
Wait, your girlfriend made a kitten? Is your girlfriend a cat?
No.
She a geneticist?
Oh, Dot.
So, this is a story all about Robert Florence and how his life took a strange turn and ended up different to how it was. Once proud Eurogamer columnist, now unemployed. Why is he unemployed? I'm sure by now that you've all seen that picture of Jeff Keighley sitting with the Halo 4 poster and all the junk food, right?
Yeah.
We have indeed.
It's a really depressing picture. Anyway, Bob wrote this article about it and about how games news people sell out. And there was a section in which he mentioned Lauren Waitwright's incessant tweeting about the new Tomb Raider game. Waitwright is a self-proclaimed games journalist, although she writes for The Sun, so she probably has more in common with the gunk that you find at the bottom of moldy jars of pasta sauce than an actual journalist. Anyway, he alleges that Waitwright is tweeting about Tomb Raider in the hopes of winning a PS3 in some stupid promotion that Eidos was running. Waitwright does the obvious thing. She threatens legal action. Not only do Eurogamer take the article down, but they give Florence the sack. He knows that he overstepped a line somewhere, and he, like, mutually, I think, between him and Eurogamer, like, they're fine.
I think that isn't exactly how it happened. The way that Robert Florence has described it was that Eurogamer, basically they had to make an edit to the article to remove the reference to the name. Or they would have faced legal action. What Robert Florence essentially said was, I cannot allow you to edit my work in that fashion and continue working for you, so it's one or the other. And they said, right, we have no choice, we have to remove it. So he said, okay, we'll part ways then. So they didn't sack him.
I'm basing everything. I'm basing everything I said off Gavio Party's excellent article on it.
Okay, so I was basing what I read about it on John Walker's stuff on his blog.
Oh, John Walker's stuff on his blog.
Yeah.
Well, if it's actually what Florence said, then that's probably more.
As far as I'm aware, that's how it ended up, and also on the Eurogamer editorial that they did on it, which was a retrospective on what happened, which I think was sensible as well. If to read that one as well.
Yeah, and that one they sort of like they apologize for the whole mess basically and say like it was a difficult position and we didn't mean to offend all the people and you know the sorts of stuff that people say when they're apologizing for things.
Yes, very much so. Can I just say Robert Florence is an absolute legend because he actually said live on British national television, bummed in the gob, and for that deserves every accolade that exists known to man. Yeah, that's it. Bummed in the gob. Done deal.
Do you think one or more parties here overstepped a line? Do you think that you should be allowed to say these things about people or accuse people of these things and not get sued because of libel laws?
My opinions on this are that libel laws in Britain are absolutely appalling one way or the other. And they really are absolutely appalling in the UK. If there's any hint, any whiff of potential libel, you can basically shut something down.
Well, it's because they're not really used for their intended purpose.
No,
they're just used to prevent the truth from getting out.
It's meant to be that
libel laws couldn't affect you if what you were saying was true. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea.
Yes, but there's a couple of places to lay blame at here. You could argue that Robert Florence probably shouldn't have mentioned people by name.
Yep,
but
you could
for the purposes of his article, he had to provide some evidence of what you were saying is the case. So he had to provide some specific examples. Having read the article and in its unedited format, it felt like it didn't really add anything to mention the name, but it didn't really take anything away. What am I trying to say here? If you removed it, so it could have stood on its own, and it does stand on its own on the Eurogamer page, the edited article now. But the response from Lauren was it Wainwright?
Waitwright.
Waitwright was completely just mad, and this is one of the points that was taken away was that you could have just done a response and pasted it.
You could have done a very dignified response, and it probably would have gotten on Eurogamer.
And
if you'd had evidence, then it might have made him look like a right twat.
Exactly. It could be that, as she says, she is just a really big fan of Tomb Raider, and the fact that she's worked for Eidos before.
I listened to her on her podcast, and she is a really big fan of Tomb Raider. I can guarantee that.
Presumably, she went and got legal advice, and the lawyers with dollar signs in their eyes and little twirly moustaches, plenty, went and said, we can make some money out of this, let's do a libel suit. And that's exactly what they ended up doing. But yeah, maybe that's what happened, maybe not. It's hard to say. But I think it's a very poor state of affairs.
I could totally have, sued the hospital for leaving the IV in me, which is why I was in A&E this morning, but I decided not to because I'm not a jerk.
Yes.
And doctors are actually quite nice, and they save people's lives.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know, it just makes you look guilty the minute you sue, or the minute you threaten legal action and stuff, you know.
Dodds and Crystalis are saying that they have no idea what's going on.
Oh.
Poor Dodds and Crystalis.
Right. Basically, yes, Robert Florence put an article up on Eurogamer that at one point insinuated that Lauren Waitwright was tweeting about Tomb Raider so that she could win PS3s in a competition.
Lauren Waitwright is another games journalist. And
she's not a journalist, she works for the Sun.
She's not? Okay, sorry, she works... oh, cats, man. Oh, you. She was also working for the people who were hosting the event, wasn't she? At the time?
Which
MCV,
event?
Wasn't it?
Maybe, I don't know. She's a freelancer, she works for a lot of things.
It was basically, it was an article in its entirety, was about how games journalists can essentially have their loyalty bought, I think was it. And how it diminishes the value of games journalism if you can't trust what they say. If you think that there is even a possibility that their opinion is being bought, that it's in some way untruthful. And that was the gist of the article, and how that was obviously a very, very bad thing. It went on to mention her by name, and she took offence to that and decided to take legal action. So that's what happened. But the issue wider is, can you trust games journalism? Is it a good thing that all of these publishers all go, yeah, we'll fly you out to a private island to preview the game? Is that desirable? Is that a good thing? Is it healthy?
I don't like it.
I don't think you should even trust me, given, like, that I've been corrected now on two factual things in the course of the last two podcasts. I think
well, it could be that I'm incorrect
just,
as well, of course.
I will
accept that.
Ignore everything that comes out of my mouth and every games journalist's mouth and just pirate every game. but ignore that as well, by the way, obviously.
GLA spokesman heard to say.
Every game.
Well, let's just pretend for a sec, you know, let's just imagine, like, the journalist was, like, one of your friends from college or work or wherever, and they really like RPGs. And then you ask, oh, how's the new Final Fantasy? And they go, oh, yeah, it's great, and the story's great, and the combat's great, you know.
No one would say that about Final Fantasy.
Well, let's just say that, well, that's part of the point, you know. They're a really big fan of the series, so can you trust their opinion when it comes to it? You know, they're just, they're normal people like the rest of us. People, if you're a fan of something, you will enjoy it, so...
The point is, do you know that that person is a fan of that series? And if you read an article that they write, do they explicitly say up front, I'm a really big fan of this series, I have a massive hard-on for it? As
it's
appropriate.
Like, the game is something that's heavily based on opinion, you know? So you can
absolutely
just trust only one review.
Absolutely.
If you do so, you're like dumb as fuck.
You are. It's unless you find fault. Someone who matches your own interests. It's possible. I've done it on various occasions where you've got named writers in magazines where I see an article by them. I know that their taste largely matches mine and their opinions largely match mine. I can come to a vague conclusion that what they say is going to be largely comparable with what I would do in a similar situation.
Yeah,
you can
I definitely know what you mean, yeah. But...
You can do that. Should you just take what they say on just that alone? Probably not. But the idea, I guess, is a bit deeper in that should they be declaring everything that has happened to them in the course of reviewing a game. Should they say, we were flown out by private jet to Hawaii to review this game, and our every whim was answered by
our own personal sex slave while we were playing it.
I mean, realistically...
Yeah, it's like in Swordfish, where that guy has to hack a computer while getting a blowjob. That's kind of like reviewing a game now.
What? Reviewing a game is like hacking a computer while getting a blowjob?
I want to be a games journalist now.
Me too.
I don't know, hacking a computer sounds hard.
It didn't look very hard when Hugh Jackman
was hacking into a Pentagon while getting a blowjob. It was
with a gun to his head at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that bit. That was less than helpful, I'll be honest.
Some people work better under pressure, you know.
There's pressure and there's pressure.
Yeah. Some people work better with a gun to their head. It makes them focus.
But yeah, so there was that whole sorry shenanigans. And also, Robert Florence wasn't employed by Eurogamer, he was a freelancer.
So, if he was a freelancer, how could he leave Eurogamer?
He said, I can no longer write for you if you're going to do this.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so and they went, yeah, okay, we understand. It was a sorry state of affairs all round, really. On that note, I'm looking at his Twitter feed at the moment, and on a related note to what we're talking about... Rock Paper Shotgun have reviewed the latest Hitman game, and John Walker's comment is, it's making those early 9 ratings look rather odd, because the review is not very complimentary about the game.
Well, wasn't there one, I'm not sure which outlet it was, but they started their review, they had like a review of the game and it wasn't very good. It might have been PC Gamer, and then they had like a promotion where they were giving away the game and they said it was really, really good in their like descriptor.
It wouldn't surprise. It wouldn't surprise. But, yeah, it's there were lots of places that gave it, like, nines and high eights or whatever else. And it's the review on a Rock Paper Shotgun. I wouldn't say I trust Rock Paper Shotgun, but I would take their coverage more seriously than I would most places. They're not very complimentary at all about the game. And it does make you question, so, well, no one else was given access to it, presumably, then, in time to review it, and no one else really reviewed it badly. Why?
I don't know. It's like when you're ordering something on the internet, and you know, you'll look at the buyer's history, and even yeah. if like everyone says A++++ fantastic seller, if there's one guy who says like item did not arrive, it was a box of rabid dogs, you go, oh no, I can't order from this guy. I can't.
It is horrible. But I wouldn't trust PC Gamer anyway, because they reviewed Dragon Age 2 and gave it 96 or 94.
That's funny.
I'm disgusted.
So, Ubisoft are still releasing games on the PC, but why should they? According to CEO, now tell me if I'm saying this wrong, is it Yves Guillemot? Or Yves Guillemot?
Yeah.
Yves, yeah. He says, normally, on PC, it's only about 5-7% who pay anyway. The rest is pirated. It's around a 93-95% piracy rate. In other words, 19 in every 20 of the players that play and presumably enjoy their PC games are dirty, thieving pirate scumbags. So...
Discuss!
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of weird, given that I've seen Assassin's Creed take the top spot on Steam's top sellers list when it comes out.
Yeah, the thing that always strikes me with these claims, and there's been quite a few of them in recent, sort of like last 18 months or so, when it's really started kicking off as to the piracy debate, none of them ever want to share how they come to these figures.
None of them ever show how they come to the figures. Like, how do they know how many people pirated the game?
If they were to do so, and actually that's the figure they come to, okay, fair enough, but...
Maybe
they're
people
not show
aren't
they're
comfortable talking about their bums on the internet.
Well, it always seems to be Ubisoft that complains about this. Ubisoft are all the ones that always seem to complain about piracy on PC.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's because they had the biggest stake in it because of UbiDRM, which they've now taken away, if I remember
that's
right.
That's right, yeah. It was the UbiDRM thing because they're really sore about piracy compared to many people.
Yeah. And even for a while, they claimed that DRM had like a 90% success rate at some point. Well, they pulled out some other bullshit figure, which out of thin air. Yeah.
It has a 90% success rate, and yet 95% of people are pirating their games. So that means that, like, what? Like, a bajillion people, like, downloaded their games, and then, like, 10 people bought them and played them, and, like, 500,000 maybe pirated them. I don't know.
Again, it's without knowing the total amounts of figures they're talking about, percentage figures are absolutely meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. If you have 95% of people pirate something, but you still sell 500,000 copies, is it really a failure?
Yes, because of all the imaginary money you've lost.
The question is also, how many of those 95% pirates would have bought the game in the first place?
How many of those 95%?
All of them. Is the answer.
All of them, absolutely. And how many of those 95% pirates pirated the game and then bought it later?
None of them.
None of them. filthy pirates.
I had the pirates Beyond Good and Evil. I bought Beyond Good and Evil from Steam, and the Steam version is absolutely goddamn terrible and doesn't work very well with modern
computers
at all.
So you've gone back to the pirated version.
And so I had to pirate the good old games version, which has had... stuff patched into it that lets it run better on modern systems.
That's depressing.
And I'm just like, wow, cheers Ubisoft. You guys obviously really care about Beyond Good and Evil.
But yeah, that's, again, without any information about numbers, I can't really take anything they say seriously.
Is anyone deeply offended that the new Devil May Cry runs at 30 frames per second? We've already talked about Devil May Cry a bit. Like,
let's talk about it again then. I played it. The thing that bugged me most was, in fact, as you say, that it runs at 30 and not 60. I didn't like that aspect particularly. I do like my really fast-paced action games. And it felt a little sluggish. I imagine that's something that will sort of get fixed during the PC version, when that eventually comes out, which they've said is going to happen.
Hopefully it won't turn out like Spore and be capped at 30 frames per second at all times.
That would be depressing. But then again, so was... I think that the modding community has generally evolved past that now, given Dark Souls, which was locked at 30.
Oh,
and
true,
yet now runs fully unlocked with 1080p textures and everything else. So I have my doubts that's actually going to matter, even if it is. I think people have now realised that they can just get around these things. But yeah, I think it matters in terms of the gameplay. I didn't like it.
I literally cannot play games that run at 30 frames per second.
Really?
It just feels so janky and weird to me. I have immense difficulty doing it.
I have difficulty when I play a game at 30 and then I jump up to 60 again somehow, and then I'm forced to go back to 30 again. I have difficulty with that. But
what?
I don't have difficulty playing games at 30, just if I have to play them at 30, I play them at 30. Ultimately, I would rather play a game at 30 frames a second than not play it at all. That makes sense.
I'd rather play a game that looked like complete ass at 60 frames per second than one that looked really nice at 30.
Fair enough.
I remember reading something about this on Twitter shortly after a while they announced it was only going to run at that frame, and one of the developers called the people saying that it needed to run at 60 FPS graphics whores or something like that.
Isn't it the opposite, though, really?
Yeah, it is the opposite, which is the problem, in that they've made the game look really good, and I'll be honest, it looks really, really good at running at like 30 frames a second.
But that's the cost you pay, is fluidity.
Yes. But it's also that they wanted deformable terrain, and they wanted to like break all the levels apart and make them come back together again and everything else. So I can understand why they've done it, and it didn't feel that bad to play. But I would really much rather have it at that lovely 60 frames a second. It just flows so much better. I think it's par for the course, Ronnie. Although, was God of War at 30 frames a second? Time to check.
I have no idea, and I don't think anyone here does.
I'm going to check it.
I know.
God of War frame rate. Max sustained frame rate of 60. Oh, so it runs at 60 as well. So this will probably end up being the first fast-paced action game I've played at 30 frames a second. So I will get Devil May Cry. I do like Devil May Cry a great deal.
Kamiya, which has come up quite a lot today, I remember briefly, like, he was asking why some games on one of his games coming for the Wii U doesn't run at 1080p. And he quoted saying, "'Cause 60 FPS more important to me."
Oh, I love
in that
Kamiya.
Broken English.
Yes.
Kamiya is a good mate.
Because 60 FPS is more important to me. And he's got a point. I think it's going to depend on the type of game you're playing, ultimately. Although there will be some people like Cats who can't stomach 30 at all. There are some games where it really matters that you have that really solid frame rate and it's really high.
I actually rather 24 than 30, because 24 makes it feel like a movie. And if it's not a fast-paced game, then it doesn't really matter.
I'm related, but sort of related. Cats, The Hobbit film, 48 frames a second, discuss.
And lots of film critics are getting annoyed at it because it's running at double the frame rate.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you getting annoyed? You're getting two times the images.
I had this discussion with the guy that installed my television the other day. Obviously, he installs a lot of televisions, film buff, whatever else. And I said, it's going to be running at 48 frames a second. And I went, coming from the games background, that's good. I don't understand the criticism.
It's like, no, the movie's too good for me. I don't want to watch it.
The movie looks like a soap opera. Okay. What does that mean?
It's because, like, in the 70s and 80s, I think, like, you would get cheap-looking interior shots in, like, multi-camera sitcoms that ran at 60 frames per second, and then you would switch to, like, an outdoor single-camera shot that ran at 24, and people have come to associate 24 with the more expensive, lavish kind of shows.
Yeah. But my friends told me that the stuff about the higher frame per second making people mad was because The Hobbit is a fantasy movie, and the higher the frames, it looks like more real. It loses the fantasy effect.
Well, they should totally just make it at 1 frame per second, then. They want it. That would be like 24 times the fantasy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. The eyes can't see at 48 frames per second anyway.
Let's not get dragged down into this.
Ultimately, my only real care about games is whether they can keep a consistent frame rate rather than how high that frame rate goes, ultimately. If they can keep it consistent, I don't really mind. It's if it starts juddering and falling over that I really start to care.
Now, the one I don't have, they don't have excuse for, no matter what, in any FPS, is field of view.
Well, the greater the field of view, the more stuff you have to render.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the same reason why, like, in Unreal Tournament 3, I think, some of the guns take up, like, a quarter of the screen or more.
Because you have to render less behind it, yeah.
And yeah, you don't have to render anything behind the gun. You can cull it all. It's a neat trick, I will say, but that's
it's very clever.
The rationale, because some games coming out now, even on PC, they don't let you remove the view models for the guns, which competitive people really like.
It's funny the lengths developers would go to make room for the graphics. I was playing Metroid Prime recently, I emulated it, and I've got the widescreen hack on, and it when you move things out of the direct field of view, so you move them towards the side, they start to disappear on the edges. And it's obviously because they're stopping, they're not only just not rendering it, they're just disappearing completely. Just actually disappearing in the background. And I thought, that's very clever.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm impressed by occlusion and culling and all that. And, you know, just how far people go to optimize their games. But I still think you should keep stuff like field of view and view models and all that in for people like me who
obsess over them.
Obsess over silly things that don't matter.
Yep. Well, again, it's the reason that people got all uppity about the Dark Souls port to the PC.
I didn't get uppity about it. I was just very grateful that it's come to the PC.
As was I. I played it on both consoles because I adore the Souls games, and I think they're probably my favourite games of the last sort of 7 years or so. And I thought they were absolutely amazing on the console, and I knew that when it moved onto the PC, it would be just more of the same. And I went, if people make changes to it, all the better. But I wasn't that upset, I'll be honest. Whereas other people were, oh, I'm not going to buy it, boycott, whatever else. You just go, really? Really? Is that necessary? But oh well.
So, Dodds, I hear you have some Molly news and some other news as well.
Kill me now.
News. It's good. It's good.
I appreciate it. Kill me now.
Anyway, in case no one sort of got the joke, it's Molly New and News combined. So
Molly News.
So I needed that explaining. Thank you, Dodds. That makes it so much better.
It's funny now that he's explained it.
Yes.
But so,
yes,
someone out there isn't going to get it. So anyway, there's been a couple of things related to Molly New recently. So the first thing first, obviously, is new game Curiosity. We talked about this a while back on another podcast. And, you know, it's a game where you have a giant cube and you got to tap smaller cubes on it to see what's underneath.
Yep.
And there's a life-changing mystery.
Yep.
Well, currently, the statistics for that is pretty surprising. And this is coming after he talked about... wait, I forgot what I was going to say now. Forget I said that last bit. Anyway, the figures are actually surprising. It's been out for, I think it's, I don't know, 2 weeks or so. And there's been around half a billion cubes destroyed.
Wow.
Has anyone actually played Curiosity yet? Free on?
I can't say I have. I heard about the £50,000 DLC and I turned right off.
Apparently he's gone back on that and there's not £50,000 DLC anymore.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it was disabled. I knew that much, but I didn't know if he was scrapping it entirely.
Anyway, you know, the figures have been pretty impressive and, you know, I'm actually curious, like, you know, whether they're going to make any, if they plan to make money off this or if it's just free or whatever, you know. Because, you know, it's got sunk in there, but anyway.
Maybe the cube will open up and it'll go, okay, now pay £30,000 to see what's inside.
Maybe it'll open up and say, I'm bad at games, I can't make them.
Anyway, Molly News said, I can reveal now exclusively that this is not a dead cat. It's not a pile of money, or unfortunately, a trip to Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. And most sad of all, it's not Half-Life 3. And this is coming after he found various users drawing penises into the cube. He genuinely got upset by this.
Why?
He says, far and away, the most number of single pictures have been penises. However, according to Molly, there's been an unexpected bright side, as there's been other players changing the penises into more better pictures that aren't penises.
Amazing. Excellent. Amazing.
That's hilarious.
Sweet.
I don't know exactly what they expected, considering that some of the oldest sort of written material that we have, like the graffiti at Pompeii, is basically all penises, or talk about penises. I don't quite understand what he was expecting.
As a civilization, we'll never get over it, will we?
No, we can't get over penises. Well, penis is just, it's there, you know.
There's just such a strength in anonymous penis doodling that can never be truly understood.
Absolutely.
Well, the reason I played Curiosity and the first thing I did was draw a giant penis. I think the reason for that is I didn't know what to draw, so you know, I was just like, oh, what should I draw?
We already found out that Dodds is like the example of a general demographic. But
you're
it all fits perfectly.
Dodds.
Yes. Congratulations.
But yeah, I'm genuinely curious about what will be in that cube, not because I honestly think it's something life-changing, but because I want to see what he made out to be something life-changing after all.
You'll never find out because
it will be a kitten.
Because only one person will see it, and I think that like they probably won't care that much and won't share it with anyone.
I think they should
anyone.
Never tell anyone. They
hold it
for
ransom.
They could tell that information.
Some rich guy somewhere has played like the Curiosity so much, and he's the person who like unlocks it is just going to hold it secret and get the rich guy to pay him because, you know, they dedicated so much time and they're so rich they don't care. They're just like, yeah, mm-hmm. Here's money.
They like open the box and then it's going to be kitty cam.
It's going to be, oh wow.
It's going to be a penis.
Yeah, it's going to be a drawing
It's going to be Molyneux's penis.
The reason that he's so angry at all the penises is because they're spoiling his great joke.
Yeah.
So what if I was really rich and hired a lot of people to work non-stop at tiling away those tiles?
I don't know.
That would be a sweatshop.
Could you give me some money?
Games before. Be totally original.
Well, you know, that was what Molyneux was wanting. He was like, he did call these experiments, social experiments even, to see what would happen. So, you know, if that happened, I'm sure he would be pretty impressed and happy with the outcome.
I also read that he'd love to see what influence social networks have on this game, as how people organize themselves and stuff. But I don't really see how that's necessary of this kind of game where you just click on tiles and they disappear.
It has a Facebook button on it, just so that, like, if you're clicking on tiles and they disappear, you might want your friends to know, like, hey, I clicked on a tile and it disappeared, and they're like, oh my god, that's so cool!
Yeah. I don't know, I'm not sure how far you need social networks to organize yourselves in this kind of game.
Shall I move on?
I think so. Yes, absolutely. Inside the Cube is the answer to every conspiracy theory I've ever heard. Truthful.
Well, on that...
So it just says nope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, that's not the only thing Molyneux had to say recently. Another one is he plans to make only one more game. This is presumably after these experiments or whatever. He says, I am only going to make one more game, I think. And that thought, the thought of every ounce of my energy, every ounce of my experience, every mistake that I've made in every single game, if I can learn from that and use that energy to make one game, that's what I'm trying to do.
Bless.
Oh, well, that sounds like something he'd say right before he made 10 more games and all of them were terrible.
Well, this is his habit, isn't it? He's overblowing games, building us up and saying, this is going to be the best thing I've ever done.
I don't think he's a scam artist. I just think he's too enthusiastic.
He cares too much. He cares too much.
He loves too much.
He made Fable 2 and 3. He better learn some stuff.
Hey, Fable 2 wasn't that bad.
Fable 2 wasn't that bad. It was just really short. It finished before I really realized that it had begun, if that makes sense. So I got really into it right at the end, and I went, yeah, let's get into this, the rest of it. Where's the rest of it? What happened? Where's my game?
Fable 3 had an interesting story and aesthetic, which was ruined by extremely boring gameplay.
Oh dear, I never played 3.
And Fable 3 had the exact same extremely boring gameplay, but with a slightly less interesting story and an awkward menu system. Mm. So yeah.
But the crazy thing is, he says he wants this to be the defining game of his career. You know, he's worked on some decent games, as he said. He's got the Fable series. He's worked on Dungeon Keeper, Theme Park, Populous.
Yeah, I
Black
think
and
those
White.
Are going to be, maybe not Black and White, but I think Dungeon Keeper, Populous, and stuff like that, and Theme Park are going to be his defining games. And no one's going to remember this at all. No one.
Well, I'm actually rooting for him, you know. I want it to be his swan song out of the gaming industry. Where everyone will go, that Peter Molyneux, he was pretty amazing, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, I do think that now that he's free from Microsoft, that he's sort of slightly more able to pursue things that are a bit out there, which can only be a good thing. But, I mean, if he's not charging money for DLC in this, then how is he going to fund this swan song?
It's a good question.
It's going to be Molyneux Smash Bros.
Hang on, one of the characters in his game is God.
Yeah. That can be like the Master Hand.
Populous. There we go. The Master Hand returns. I use Armageddon. World ends. Sorry. You've lost.
Anyway, Molyneux on the topic of games also said he made an announcement on his next experiment from 22 Cans called Cooperation. And this was on the 8th of November. And he said it will be kind of live on Friday. I haven't heard anything about it yet, but it was kind of live already, apparently, so I wonder what the hell this one's going to involve. Obviously, it's called Cooperation, so, you know, presumably involves working together, but kind of live?
It'll be an alternate reality game in which you get points of punching your close friends.
Yep.
I think.
So has the alternate reality game already started?
Yeah, are there the clues alternate on the reality website game and no one's already started, yeah. You're in the game right now, by the way.
See, this would have been solved already if we just had, like, the Valve fans. They love this shit.
I'm challenging you to the game right now. Do you accept?
Okay. I just lost it.
Not that game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a shit game.
It is. How about we play Rob Welsh Always Wins?
How about
please?
No?
Please.
How about no?
No, because if you play, he'll win.
I'll let you start.
Fine. Oh, no. I'll play.
Okay.
Okay, how do I play?
You lose.
Oh.
Why did you play?
I wanted to see what he was going to say.
Does this happen often?
Yes, it does.
Oh dear.
I hate games.
I think we all hate games, and that's why we're here.
Everyone
I don't
hates
hate games.
It's illegal not to hate games, I'll have you know.
I don't hate games, but I hate the people that test them. I seem to share these thoughts with Tony Blystad, who directed Hitman Absolution. He said, "It's quite difficult, actually, to educate players that this is what the game is trying to serve you, because people are increasingly used to games where you're told to do one thing, and if you stray from this line, there will be nothing else around. It's like you have this experience, and that's it. So we're telling people, actually, no, 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 you choose by yourself." So, you know, this is obviously related to the openness of the Hitman games. And,
why
know,
is this a new thing? Why should this be considered a new... I don't get it. Shouldn't that just be assumed to be what things are like?
Well, because it's, you know, it comes back to these playtesters we were on about earlier. They're idiots.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, everyone I know who plays video games is much less dumb than the people who playtest video games. I don't know where they get them. I know Insomniac's playtesters are all 12 years old, but I don't get it.
It's an industry-wide thing. A while back, it was happened with Dishonored as well. I've got the quote as well. It says, "People would just walk around. They didn't know what to do. They didn't even go upstairs because a guard told them they couldn't. They'll say, okay, I can't go upstairs." They wouldn't do anything.
I don't believe that. When someone in a video game tells me not to do something, the first thing I do is try to do it.
You can't jump down there. It kills you.
And even if it very obviously kills you, I'll do it.
When the guard tells you to pick up the can, you grab it and you toss it at his head and you run past him. Well,
yeah, that's
he's angry.
The whole point of
Cats
that exchange.
Did you play Portal 2?
I did indeed play Portal 2.
How many times did you die in that game?
It doesn't explicitly tell you not to jump into pits in Portal 2, does it?
But it tries to trap you a few times, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, I wanted to... you know the part where he kills you, where Wheatley tries to kill you? There's a bit after that where he keeps talking after you've portaled out, and one thing that he says is like, "Oh, just jump down that pit there, and like your parents are down there, and like it'll all be great. Just jump down that pit." And I did actually genuinely jump down the pit. And if you jump down the pit, he says, "I can't believe that worked." In Stephen Merchant's lovely
voice. I can't believe that worked.
So I appreciated that from Valve. Yes.
Yep. It's nice. It's cute when that happens.
So all playtesters are 12-year-old Call of Duty fans.
I mean, I don't really have an example at hand, but it's I mean, most games follow those kind of rules that when something is not possible, it is explicitly told you, and maybe it's hard for so many people to think outside that box that already exists in so many games. So, I don't know. Then again, I don't really have an example right now, so...
I think it's just games aren't open enough anymore. Even, like, open-world games like Skyrim, you know, most of the quests only had, like, one or two solutions to everything, and even then they were outright told you, you know, oh, you could do this or that.
I still maintain that Skyrim isn't that great of a game.
Yeah, but that...
I spent so much time on it, but it was all exploring. I didn't do any of the quests, I just spent it exploring. The quests were just dull and boring. Just dull.
It's been more than a year that this game came out. Isn't that amazing?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
I was sick of it week one.
Yeah,
I'm still sick of it now.
I played it for about 3 weeks and stopped. Also, I'm watching Kitten Cam and they're playing.
Oh,
and it's amazing.
Kitten Cam.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh, he's grabbing. Oh, it's so cute.
Adorable.
I adore kittens, what can I say? Oh god. One of them just went and looked at the camera.
Oh, damn, those kitties are like 690 or something, but they gave up now.
I wish I was a kitten.
Yeah, don't we all?
Then I could have nice things.
You like, could have all the nice things.
If you were a cat, but had opposable thumbs, that would be the best thing.
You think that's like an awesome animal? Like,
you could steal all of the milk.
What if you had two opposable thumbs?
On each hand?
Yeah.
That'd just be weird. And now I'm watching these cats, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ruined all the whole flow of the podcast.
And now the podcast just goes downhill.
This never had any flow to begin with. Dodds, next news thing, please.
I don't like being the host. Go back
Too bad.
Your news thing.
No, your news things.
The next one is actually about... Introversion, the people who developed Prison Architect and a while back, Darwinia. Really good
Darwinia.
Devs. Basically, two guys plus a third if they ever want a guy to do music and stuff like that. Basically, they've sort of described, they've talked about trying to get Darwinia Plus on Xbox Live and, you know, how painful it is to try to get an indie game on Xbox Live. You know, we've all heard these stories before.
Of Microsoft being jerks to indie developers for no reason.
Yes. Let's put it into, I forgot his name now. Mark Morris, co-founder of Introversion's word. It's ridiculous. It's non-refundable once you've brought it. He's talking about the development kit, which is $10,000. You've got to pay. I think our quality assurance bill was $3,000 with testing with Darwinia Plus. It took us 4 years to get the game certified to a standard Microsoft wanted. It's then sold rubbish. We hardly shipped any units on the 360 compared to PC.
Yeah, well, there is this.
Every developer has a horror story like that. Every indie developer with Xbox Live, they all say the same thing. And, indeed, I think everyone except Gaijin Games says the same thing about the Wii Store.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't WayForward actually like the Wii Store?
I don't know.
They put out quite a few digital titles.
They have, like, a cult following, but I think they've only ever had a cult following, so they're not used to things that they've made selling more than that.
Well, anyway, it gets worse after this. After a while, you know, he talks about Sony and Microsoft, their competing history. He says, but Microsoft and Sony come along and say, well, we don't want to have your game second. We want it first. And then he goes to say, well, you can't be first. We're on PC because they've made it too hard. Also, they want exclusive content. Well, piss off. You're not delivering the amount of sales. You're making us work harder. Ultimately, we're getting paid less than what we do on PC. So I think they're definitely, in the indie world, second-class customers. That's pretty strong words, if you ask me.
It's odd. It seems that the downloadable stores on all of the modern-day consoles are basically avenues for big publishers to publish the stuff that they really can't justify publishing in retail, more than they are sort of an avenue for indie games to have their limelight day. It just seems a bit odd.
It is weird, because it does seem weird that even Sony would do this, because didn't they actually partially fund, say, The Journey and a couple of other titles on the PlayStation?
Oh, I bet they're well nice to them, yeah. But like,
yeah, I think it's... If you've got a deal with the publisher, the hardware manufacturer, so you've got a deal with Sony or with Microsoft, specifically that you're only going to make for them, and that they're going to fund the game, part of the game, whatever, then you'll do okay. But I don't think it's an avenue for just your average bog-standard indie developer to put their game onto a console to get a bigger audience. I don't think it works that way. I think it was maybe envisaged that that could be how it could work, but it's really not what it's become. You go to the PSN store for things like Journey and Flower. You don't go to it for any of the other sort of indie games that you'd find.
Super usually. Bat Punch. Super Bat Puncher. That game.
Jesus.
That's a thing?
And it's excellent.
You go to it for your Wipeout HD as well. Stuff like that. You wouldn't go to it for stuff like Super Meat Boy. Although Super Meat Boy, I think, did okay on the 360.
No, it didn't. Team Meat said it sold way worse than it did on PC, even though it launched on Xbox Live first.
And shocking.
That Microsoft said that they would promote it and give it like a front page spot on their store, and then they never did.
Yeah. Again, it seems more for bigger publishers to get their stuff out that they didn't really want to publish at retail. And I think that's probably the way it's going to continue, to be honest. I don't think they're interested in courting indie developers.
But do you think things will change next generation? What's the Wii U like? Does anyone know? Because Nintendo certainly are being a lot nicer with like hardware and dev kits. And actually, Nintendo are probably like they had a really bad reputation in like the NES days being complete jerks to work with to get your game published.
Yeah, but there was a good reason for that in the NES days. There's
true.
A very good reason.
Yeah,
that
there was
that
a good reason.
In the NES days.
But since then, they've tried to reverse that, and they've tried to make making games more accessible. And I think that's partly why the Wii is the focus of so much shovelware, but it's also why it has gotten a lot of the good sleeper hit type games that it has. So,
well, I think they have to be, to a certain extent, they have to be accessible to mobile developers because they use very unique hardware. In terms of stuff like the Wii Remote was absolutely unique when it came out. The gamepad is going to be absolutely unique when it comes out. They have to, because if
Until
they don't...
Microsoft and Sony announce their
well,
clones.
Well, absolutely. If they don't if they don't make it easier for people to develop for, people will just go, well, why should we bother? Well, let's not care. At which point you have the situation as in the GameCube days, where third parties really aren't on board with you, and they really don't care that much. That's what really killed the GameCube for most people. Was the third-party support was just a bit lackluster?
I think I read somewhere, I can't remember exactly where I read it, but I think I read that the Nintendo Wii U is, for developers, Nintendo will give out free patches, unlike Microsoft will charge extortionate amounts to give out patches to the customers. And, you know, I think that will help some independent devs, because I think I remember this on Fez, like, there was a bug for, like, I don't know, I think it was like 1% of all the users. But, you know, because it was only 1% and it would cost them, like, I don't know, $10,000 or whatever to patch it, it ultimately wasn't worth it to Phil Fish because he's a dick. So, you know, if it's got free patching on the Wii U, you know, I think that would be very helpful to smaller developers.
We can but hope. We can but hope. Do you have any other fun things to read out, Dodds?
I want to call my current stuff fun. that might be because I'm reading it.
Well, all my stuff nowadays is just gossip. Just 100% gossip, with no actual substantial news at all. It's just gossip and bitching about things, mostly. So I like
I can
this
give you something
new approach that you've taken, where you're talking about interesting things.
Oh, I can give you something to bitch about then, if you want.
Oh, please do.
Okay, this one's from a casual and social game developer. This is the GoGoGeek CEO, Jonas Antonso. He looks like a real twat if you ever look at his picture.
This is the same thing that you said last podcast, and it turned out to be a picture of a different guy. I don't trust
what?
You. When you tell me that someone looks like a twat, I do not trust you anymore. Okay.
This is him. This
you
is
broke
him.
The sacred seal, Dobbs.
That doesn't strike me as looking particularly twatish, I'll be honest.
He looks like a real twat. Anyway,
he looks like a nice guy, actually. I like him. I like his head. It's like an egg.
Anyway, he talked about... this is on a conversation about hard and unrelenting games. He specifically mentioned DayZ and Dark Souls. Well, actually, I think it was Demon's Souls, but yeah, same thing. Well, to the non-fan. And basically...
Urge to kill Dodds, rising. Urge to kill Dodds, rising. Continue, Dodds.
Let me just find the quote, because I didn't organise this, because it was a very long interview...
It's all right, Dodds. Don't worry. It's not like he lives in the same country as you.
Oh, mummy cat. I think the kittens are playing on the camera because there's lots of shuffling noises coming from the camera. Sorry, I'm just gonna.
I'm watching the kitten camera as well. It's okay.
That's okay.
Aww.
Oh, cute.
Anyways, he said, I also think it's worth to note that single-player mechanic is a gimmick. Games are meant to be played with others, and it doesn't matter if it's in-person or online. The first games were designed as multiplayer experiences, but when computer and console games became a thing, there was a need to construct an antagonist and or a protagonist for commercial purposes. Do you guys think single-player's a gimmick?
Everything is a gimmick. I can't enjoy the things I used to enjoy because they became gimmicks.
This is funny, because he even mentioned
kitten
games
camera
like...
is a gimmick. The gimmick is that they're kittens and that there's a camera. That's the gimmick. You know?
He even mentioned Dark Souls as sort of a permanent multiplayer just because you had that social aspect of, you know, just writing shit on the floor.
And that's a gimmick.
You could turn the game offline and you would never get any of that, and it would become a completely contained single-player experience. And it's still a very good contained single-player experience. So I don't quite understand the point.
I'm sorry, but if you're a gamer that can make friends and play online, dude, that's just gimmicks.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's a gimmick. Everything is a gimmick.
I think being able to play games is a gimmick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the breathing is a really big gimmick, and oxygen, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
I get so goddamn annoyed when people say, oh, that game, that's just a gimmick, as if there is some kind of distinction between gimmick and actual feature. No,
yeah,
there
exactly.
isn't. Every Kirby game has had a gimmick,
yeah,
and I correct. Really like what they do, like... every game has a different, like, central thing, like the Kirby
exactly,
Superstar
yeah.
with all the different little mini-games, or
yeah.
Kirby 64 with mixing the power-ups, or the new one
Epic
with,
Yarn
like,
with its amazing graphics.
I fail to see how the fact that that might be considered a gimmick rather than a useful feature detracts from the fact that it makes playing the game a lot more enjoyable. I think
for me,
it's just
it always,
one of those reasons
yeah.
people have to justify not liking something when they can't think of an actual
reason. It always
reason.
Seems to me the people that go around talking about gimmicks are the same people that will then criticize things for being rehashes of things that came before. When they talk about gimmicks, what they're talking about realistically is the fact that it's something that was only introduced for that one game and then will be dropped subsequently from everything else, never used again. And then they complain about things like rehashes, where they continually reuse the same mechanics over and over again. And it's just, it's doublethink. We don't want the same thing. We don't want anything different. Well, what
yeah,
do you want, then?
I see what you mean.
What do you want?
I like gimmicks. I think gimmicks
go,
add a lot to video games, and I want to play more gimmicky games.
Skyward Sword is a gimmicky game because the real motion of the sword in your hand, whatever else, is a complete gimmick. And I go, it's the whole point of the game, is that you've now got real-time motion control.
Wasn't that the gimmick in Twilight Princess, where swinging the Wiimote would make you swing your sword wildly?
Yes.
Well,
that was
kind
a gimmick.
Of, but it
that was arguably a gimmick.
Yeah, in Twilight Princess, it was possibly more to the textbook definition of being a gimmick, because it didn't really add anything to the game.
Yeah.
In fact, it possibly detracted from it, because it was so
version
imprecise.
Is still the definitive version of that game, by the way. That's what
I know,
suppose.
I know.
Still the definitive version. Purely because everything is where it's supposed to be in Hyrule, and Link is no longer right-handed.
What's wrong with right-handed Link in Mirrored World?
There's nothing wrong with it.
10% of the population's left-handed. Why can't we have 10% of Link's are left-handed?
Well, you just start getting all the dice between, like, 1 and 10, and if it's, like, 10, you get the left-handed version of the game.
Well, I'm just wondering why it's such a far-fetched concept that he's left-handed.
It's not a far-fetched concept
at
all.
It's because Miyamoto's left-handed, isn't it? I believe.
I don't know.
Is Miyamoto left-handed?
I don't think Link is based on Miyamoto.
Is Miyamoto left-handed? Thank you, Google. Apparently, Miyamoto's ambidextrous, although he prefers to use the left hand.
Oh, what a freak.
There you go. Left-handed.
Well,
sorry. His left hand is his primary hand, though.
I wish I was
Link
ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous in, like, the first Zelda game?
He flips his sword from hand to hand. Yeah. That's right.
But
look at my gimmick. I can throw from hand to hand.
But according to the artwork, he was left-handed there, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, seeing how in almost every single Zelda game, it's a different Link than the one before,
yeah.
I don't see how it's a problem that he'd be
right-handed
in one game.
It's the problem is more that things that were in the west of Hyrule are now in the east of Hyrule.
Oh yeah, that's true. But I mean, that's unrelated. Yeah. That's unrelated to him being right or left.
Oh, absolutely.
The people who complain about that are the same kind of people who go, "Oh no, this Zelda game ruined Zelda lore. Oh no, it ruined the timeline."
I don't care about that.
Yeah,
it does amuse me slightly when that happens. And it was because they had to shoehorn the Wii remote controls in, because most people playing the Wii would be right-handed.
But
thus it made sense to have the sword in the right hand.
What I said about the sword swinging, I think the Wii version of Twilight Princess is better because of the bow and hookshot and all that aiming, which was done really well with the pointing.
It was done very well.
And I cannot aim with an analog stick at all, so that was just an absolute godsend for me. You should see me playing Wind Waker, taking like 5 minutes to line up the hookshot just so that I could get from one place to another. Stupid.
Bless. On the other hand, GameCube Twilight Princess is so rare that it's really expensive.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I can see why, though.
It's still worth about 45 well, quid.
I wish I owned a rare game.
I have one.
I saved, like, every game I bought in the 90s. They're, like, under my bed at home, just in case one of them turns out to be really rare and, like, Earthbound or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it could happen.
It'll happen at some point. I have all of my SNES and my N64 games at my mother's. I need to find them at some point and get them all back. Because I have my SNES now, and it's in my living room. I need to hook it up at some point and play it again.
Where it belongs.
Because it's amazing.
I think Dodd still has his SNES as well.
Yeah, last time I hooked it up, my mum was drunk and she had a friend over, and they called me down to set up the SNES so they could play Mario All-Stars.
Oh.
they were drunk and they couldn't do it, and they kept calling me down to do the levels for them, and eventually I told them, no, I don't want to do it. Then they started to
I will not
money.
Name
that sounds amazing.
They were like, oh, we'll give you money if you do this level for us.
Okay. Taking advantage, wow. Dodds. Taking advantage
I was
of
like,
drunk
this
women.
This must be what it's like to be Korean.
Can we say
Dodds
that?
Is officially
is
a game
there
bitch.
Is a, there is a list of quotes from Dodd somewhere, isn't there?
Yes, it's called Doddskipedia.
Excellent.
Lunchtime.org.uk/Doddskipedia.
Yeah, we have a similar thing at work, the quotes book. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, these things need to be recorded. Did you accept the bribe, or did you not on, like, moral grounds?
I was going to say, did you take advantage of those drunk women? Did you do that? Were you that man?
I wouldn't say took advantage, but, you know,
but
you know
they
I'm
did
poor.
Pay you to play
I love
Mario
money.
He took advantage of... Dodgy took advantage of drunk women.
His parents don't give him an allowance, so he gets money for his birthday every year, and then he spends all in about the week, and then he's broke for the whole rest of the year.
Aww.
Speaking of birthdays, isn't it your birthday soon, Kat?
It's my birthday today. That's why I was in accident and emergency this morning, and accident and emergency last night, and why I've been to accident and emergency so much.
Happy birthday, Dodd. Not Dodd's, Cats even. Happy birthday.
Happy
Did you enjoy
birthday,
accident
cats,
and emergency?
Happy birthday.
I enjoyed very much going to accident and emergency.
Are you going to have a party?
But when I got back, everyone gave me cake.
That's nice. What did you go to accident and emergency for?
Well, the first time was because something that I shall now refer to as the best 5 hours of my life, in which I got the nickname Captain Haddock, and okay. Woke up in accident and emergency, and I left, and then the next day, today, I had to go back because they'd left an IV in my arm. Discharged me with it.
Standing.
I called the NHS Direct, and they were like, go here, and so we went there, and they were like, we can't take the IV out of your arm. So I was like, oh, okay. And they were like, go to this other place, and then we went there, and then the guy took it out. And he was like, you can take legal action if you want. And I was like, I don't want to take legal action.
Think of all the money, cats.
But then
think of, oh god, the kitten cam. Oh god. Oh god, it made a noise.
Anyway, because it's been over 2 hours and this podcast still needs direction, just to finish off with
we have kittens. There is no direction here but kittens.
Yes, but I want to stop portraying Jonas as the bad guy, because he did say something in like Retreat. He said, this doesn't mean we've run out of room when it comes to single player titles or games that make you sweat and curse every couple of minutes. It means that those titles have to be appealing and cater to the hardcore audience. So games that drive you crazy can be excellent because they are well designed. Not because that's what games are supposed to do or how they should work.
I can tell you there's a man who'll get really angry at that, and he has a website. I think it's like Insomnia or Insomni.ac or whatever
that
it is.
That man is the single most pretentious self-proclaimed games journalist I have ever seen.
Self-styled journalist, yes. Yes, very much so. He's basically a guy who thinks that anything that isn't a top-down shooting, so a shoot-em-up, isn't a game, basically. That's his singular definition of what a video game is.
He did a review of Cave Story, and he spent three quarters of the review talking about how everyone who liked Cave Story had poor taste.
Yeah. And he throws the F-word around a lot as well, and I just like, okay, fair enough, whatever.
He had another review where he said that Sonic 1 was really good, but Sonic 2 wasn't, even though they're virtually identical.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's literally insane what he thinks. It's like the rantings of a madman.
What gets me is he bans from his forums anyone that says anything criticizing him, and
that's always a good trait.
It is always a fine trait, conducive to good debate. He also has a page on his site that specifically lists the good things that people have said about him, which is also again a fantastic trait to have. So yeah, but other than that, yeah, I can imagine he would get very angry at the whole single player is a gimmick.
I don't know, I mean, if I play, let's say, an RPG and I have a really rich world with a rich story and everything, it doesn't really fit into a multiplayer game. I can only really experience that in a single player game.
Could you have multiplayer waifu wars? Could you have multiplayer waifu wars? No, you couldn't.
Yeah, right.
No, because everyone would steal your waifu.
You could Persona 4 Arena.
Everyone would steal your waifu, though. What would you do?
Waifus are like the personification of gimmicks.
Don't you talk shit about my gimmick waifu.
I mean, there's certainly genres that I know I enjoy more in single player than I could in multiplayer.
And there's vice versa, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Like,
Some games don't make sense at all.
I can't go back to playing Tetris single player. That's just not happening.
Tetris, oh god.
What?
So good.
I know, right?
It's so good. And you, like, are you now thinking about the music. You know you are. Don't even say that you're not.
Nah, I'm thinking about Bubble Bob music.
Bubble Bubble.
It could be worse. Did anyone ever play, it was like Puzzle Bubble, but Buster Move 2, that's what they called it over in Europe.
Yeah, I played Buster Move.
On the PlayStation?
I don't, maybe not the PlayStation one.
Okay. If you have the PlayStation version, there was a gimmick, funnily enough, on early PlayStation discs, and they stopped doing it later for some reason, where if you put the disc into a CD player, you get the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember putting my PlayStation discs
into... I have the original Buster Move 2 disc, and I have the soundtrack, and it's incredible. It's absolutely amazing.
It was the same thing with the Age of Empires 2.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Age of Empires
things that they stopped doing completely because we stopped having CDs.
Well, no, they stopped doing it completely because now that they can sell you the soundtrack separately on Steam, which is what they do.
What they mean there is they can put the soundtrack up for sale and people will just go to BitTorrent and download it.
I do not buy soundtracks to games I already own. That's just, like, dumb. Especially because with most games you can go into the game files and rip the soundtrack out anyway.
Precisely.
It's really, like, they did that with Frozen Synapse, and it was in the Humble Indie Bundle, so I got Frozen Synapse for, like, $5, and the soundtrack is, like, £6 on the site. Like, what? And
it comes in the game files. Do you know what you are, Kat? You are part of the 95%. That is you.
But what I wanted to say, Age of Empires 2 and Total Annihilation, for example, had that they had their soundtrack, like, on an original audio CD. A friend of mine was replaying Age of Empires 2 recently, apparently with an OCD crack, and he had a normal audio CD from an artist in a CD drive, and at some point it would just start playing while he was playing Age of Empires 2, and he couldn't turn it off.
That's pretty cool.
That's nice. So it would stream it from the... okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because on old PC games, they would, like, write the soundtrack directly to the disc as uncompressed music audio.
Oh, of course, because they didn't have the hard drive space back then to have
it
uncompressed
music. It wasn't hard drive
music.
Space,
yeah, okay,
and, like,
sense.
MP3 and stuff was still, like, in its early form.
Oh, yeah, of course, so they didn't have compressed music properly. Yeah, that makes sense. Sound has always been the biggest barrier in terms of putting stuff on, and pre-rendered video, but that's less of an issue, really. But it's,
All 90s RTSs obligatory have some horrible-looking 3D pre-rendered cutscene. Yep. The worst one is Heroes of Might and Magic because it's really long and really boring and you can't skip it. So everyone will be like, oh, Katsuman, you should come on Heroes of Might and Magic with us. And I'll be like, okay. Oh, sorry, I have to wait now 5 minutes while I watch the intro video.
First time boot up of any Command & Conquer game. First time boot up of any Command & Conquer game. Gotta watch the cutscene.
Yeah, admittedly, you only have to watch the intro once.
Yeah.
Red Alert 2 intro cutscene. Can't skip. Want to skip. Please let me skip.
If you do that as a game designer, then I hate you.
You know the best thing. Cutscenes. You know the best thing about older games? When you're installing it, you got install screen with loads of information and shit like that. Because you can alt tab out of it without crashing your computer.
I remember that. I was installing Rome Total War recently because I wanted to go back to that. I think I played it over the internet with you and Doya. And as you're installing it, it plays the soundtrack, which is really cool. Yep. And then it has a slideshow of pictures of Romans and God. It makes you, it's like the same feeling as being a kid and reading the manual in the way back in the car. Yep. It's that same feeling of getting pumped up for playing a video game that you don't really get anymore.
CNC Red Alert 2 was a really good installer. It was a really good installer.
When you started saying that, I thought you were talking about typical installers where just music starts playing really loud and you can't turn it off.
It's obnoxious to me now because I have such a short attention span as a human being that when something's installing, I will alt-tab into Firefox and browse the internet. But it didn't used to be that way. No. I used to be
You used to savor absolutely every game you played, every single second of it, because you didn't know when your next one was coming along. You didn't have money.
Yeah, I didn't have money, and why would I need it? If I bought Rayman 1 for the Game Boy, and Wario Land 3, and those were the only two games I played for a period of 5 years, and I still haven't fucking finished Wario Land 3.
Do you guys know the installer of Command & Conquer 2, Tiberian Sun?
Yes.
It's incredibly good. It's
got
great
information about Nod and GDI doing loads of shit. There's Nods. You hear about Nod blowing up buildings and stuff.
Exactly. While you're installing, it shows newspaper articles about what GDI and Nod are doing. Yep. It's so great.
The installer for Red Alert 2 was a fake sort of military login. And it would go, warning, top secret clearance required, enter your passcode. Yeah. You had to enter in the CD key. It was 30 seconds. I went, shit.
It's so fucking amazing.
Tiberian Sun did that kind of as well. It's, when you put in your CD, it'll go, hello, Commander. And you go, it's a voice.
Can I just say, did anyone ever play Race Driver Grid? A couple of years ago.
Yeah. Least,
where it asks you what your name is, and it's got a pre-spoken list of names, and it says your name whenever you boot the game up.
Every time I do it, she says, hello, Matthew.
It terrifies
Welcome to
me.
Grid.
And it's terrifying.
Shut up!
I'm just watching kittens playing. Sorry. This is far more important.
It's okay, I understand now.
Talking about in-game cutscenes and Command & Conquer, I really liked the in-game cutscenes of the earlier Command & Conquer games.
Oh god, don't. I know the intro to Command & Conquer 1 almost by heart. Just with the flicking the channels between different things, it's like, oh no.
Go on then, recite me the first lines.
For example, the intro of the first Red Alert game where Einstein travels back in time to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Does he actually kill him? I thought he just shakes his hand and changes history. I thought that was what he did. I didn't know he killed him or anything.
Yeah,
that was Red Alert 3, I think.
Oh, Red Alert 3 is just funny.
No. Red Alert 1 was the one that he went back and shook his hand.
They killed him twice in the Red Alert series.
Oh, bless.
They killed him, and then they went back in time and killed him again.
Just in case. First time wasn't quite enough.
Poland still looks pretty invaded from here. Let's better go back.
Oh, that crazy Hitler. What's he like? Can't leave him alone with Poland 5 minutes.
It's not so bad when you know him closer.
I used to like PlayStation 1's cutscenes like Final Fantasy or the Gaia. Yeah. And I watch that and think, wow, PlayStation 3 will have those graphics in-game.
And it does.
And, then it
and they're
doesn't.
Still not good to play.
I don't think they got that level, in the gameplay parts.
Final Fantasy 13 is fairly convincing if you play Final Fantasy 13.
It looks better than the cutscenes in Final Fantasy PlayStation ones. Definitely.
I use play in the loosest sense, referring to Final Fantasy 13, because the first 20 hours or so are just no. Really, I'm not going to say anything else. But the graphic fidelity-wise, it's pretty gosh darn impressive.
Especially considering it like runs on the Unreal Engine, doesn't it?
I think it runs on a really heavily modified Unreal. I'm not certain though.
I thought it ran on their own engine.
I think it does. To be honest with you, I think that's why they spent so much time with it and why they spent so much time pouring it out, so to speak. Final Fantasy 13 developed a new engine. What engine is it?
Crystal Tools engine.
Crystal Tools. It's their own thing. The latest Devil May Cry, funnily enough, is going to be in Unreal. So we'll see how that ends up.
Unreal is really easy to make games in and really cheap to license.
It is.
That's why everyone makes games with Unreal. And there's not wrong with that, I guess. But
there's a couple of things wrong with it in that it's got some really, really major issues with texture load. But other than that, yeah.
But I mean, you can tell when games do have like an Unreal feel to them.
Yeah, I think it was especially prevalent early on.
Yeah,
it's when you license it and you don't make any effort to change it at all. When DICE licensed it for Mirror's Edge, you couldn't tell that was an Unreal game.
That was because it had art and level designed by Robert Briscoe, who is literally the most amazing art and level designer ever.
And also because they spent bags and bags of time modifying the engine to the point where you couldn't recognise it. There's a certain shininess of textures to Unreal 3, and you can see it in Mass Effect 1, especially in Mass Effect 2 as well, and you can see it in Gears of War, you can see it in Unreal Tournament 3? Yeah, it's Unreal Tournament 3, isn't it? And you can just see it, there's a very specific design, graphics sort of aesthetic to the Unreal Engine, and it's really just painfully obvious when people use it. But Mirror's Edge doesn't have it, because they spent the time and the money to make it so that it didn't look like that. Which is a lot better, in fairness. Because I love Mirror's Edge. Can I just say I love Mirror's Edge? So good.
Yeah, it is a good game. I think it's a shame Capcom doesn't use their MT engine more often, you know. That's a really good engine, you know. They used it with Dead Rising, you know. Lots of NPCs on the screen at once.
You say
They use it only for their games, you know. There's like, I'm looking at the list right now, and there's maybe 12 consoles.
No one else uses it, essentially, just them. But when they do use it, it's absolutely incredible what they use it for, because they use it for Street Fighter, they use it for Marvel vs.
Capcom. Devil May Cry 4, you know, that ran really well on consoles and PC. I was really impressed with it.
Well, the reason that is because they're not PC ports, they're ports to console from a PC environment.
Oh, because Capcom make a lot of arcade games, and all arcades basically run modified versions of Windows XP these days,
How did Resident Evil 6 look? Because that runs on the same engine. It seems to be the latest version as well.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks very nice.
It doesn't play that great. There is a video that I've been linking every single time I've been in chat on GLA. If you've not seen it already, I really do suggest you do, because it's absolutely...
Muggle, please, no hair. Please, no hair.
Not here.
I will say, Resident Evil 6, there are... As good as it looks, there are certain... things in the environment that look like absolute trash.
Yeah, there always are, though.
In the first chapter of Leon's campaign, you're in this giant banquet hall, and the food doesn't look like food at all.
Yeah.
It looks like paper mache.
That's a shame.
I wouldn't play a game where the food didn't look like food. We were talking about this last time. We were talking about, like, the cheese in Oblivion or something. Shitty cheese, 0 out of 10, wouldn't play. Crystallis has muted and deafened himself and said, let me know when you're done talking about RE6, by the way.
Well, I haven't played it, so I have no idea what any spoilers are.
I've played Chris's and Jake's campaign, and I got about halfway through Leon's campaign, and then my friend got Assassin's Creed 3, and we just stopped playing it.
I have issues with the gameplay of Resident Evil 6. I haven't played any Resident Evil 6 other than the demo, but I have issues with what I've seen of gameplay videos and from that video that I'm mentioned before.
It does make it unplayable, but there are definitely flaws with it.
Yeah. Well, again, I had the same thing with Resident Evil 5. Resident Evil 5 is a fantastic co-op game. It's a great little third-person shooter. That's absolutely fantastic with co-op play. But it's not really strictly Resident Evil, as it was originally envisioned. But that's
fine. You know
what
they should do? They should reboot it and give it to some Western developer who has no idea what they're doing.
Absolutely. Great idea.
I recently read up on Resident Evil 4.5, what 5 was originally supposed to be.
Oh, really?
And it's just way better.
Really? If you look at what Resident Evil 4 was going to be, and you look at what Resident Evil 2, even what Resident Evil 2 was going to be, some marked differences in how they actually made the game.
Devil May Cry,
of course, was at one point Resident Evil 4, so...
I'm very curious to hear about this.
Well, Resident Evil 4 went through so many different iterations. I think 3 of them got cancelled. One of them still remains, and it's basically... Go on. Yeah, you go on.
I was going to say, one of the concepts for Resident Evil 4 became Devil May Cry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because they wanted to spin it off in a fast-paced action setting, and they went, well, we can't really do this with Resident Evil. Turn it into something else. One of them has a GameCube demo, which I think there's an ISO floating around somewhere on the internet for, so you can actually play it. It was only shown once to journalists. And it was essentially in a really creepy haunted house atmosphere. There were like ghosts with scythes and little dolls walking around the place. It was really weird. But it was still Leon, and it was still recognisably Resident Evil.
It wasn't as action-y as the Resident Evil 4 we got.
No, not at all. Not in the slightest. No.
And it was supposed to be like more paranormal.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there wasn't any zombies in it. It was, you know, ghosts and little demon doll things.
But it's odd that people criticise the action focus of later Resident Evils, when if you look at what Resident Evil 2 is now, Resident Evil 2 is really, really heavily linear, very, very few places to go, and very action-focused. So the only ones you can really call survival horror are Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil Remake. I don't really think you can really call the others specifically the more open survival horror type theme that Resident Evil seems to be famous for. When Resident Evil 2 is what it is. But yeah, it's I like Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 was probably my game of, what was it, 2004?
Oh, 2004 was a very good year as well.
2004 was a very, very good year. But it sort of redefined what I expected from action games, and it was so, so good. And I really had no issues with what it did to Resident Evil. I still don't, really. Even if it does sort of turn into QTEs out the wazoo, sort of
it has
no
become
ammo
like
management.
A flanderized version of itself, you got to admit.
Like, well, for me, Resident Evil was always about the hammy dialogue, the silly setting, the really, really overblown characters.
If you're playing a Resident Evil game expecting, like a really
good control,
good story, then you're in the wrong place. And people who accuse Resident Evil 6 of being dumb for not having a good story are, in fact, silly themselves. I have to admit, you see this with so many games these days, and even games that aren't doing it, like, ironically, games that are just genuinely really stupid.
Yes.
People get, especially I'm kind of sick of it.
I kind of liked Resident Evil's plot more when it was a giant faceless corporation trying to make money out of biological weaponry than when it was, we're going to take over the world by infecting everyone with a giant virus that kills 99% of the population and leaving only the purest behind. Which is incredibly silly, whereas a giant faceless corporation is kind of like, that could happen.
But that wasn't the corporation, that was just Wesker, wasn't it?
It was the corporation as well, it was the founding member of the corporation that did it. What was his name, was it? Spencer?
Yeah,
it was him. And that was their plan all along, apparently. Whereas in Resident Evil 1, it was just, we're making weapons to sell to the military. That's what we're doing.
Money. And that was
chilling.
Much more plausible reason for doing
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. It was more plausible, and it was a little bit more engaging, I guess. Than just, megalomaniac trying to take over the world. Okay.
It was less about, oh, I'm evil for being evil, more like, I'm evil because I like money.
Yeah.
Twirly mustache.
Twirly mustache.
Okay, it's time for the top video game picks. So this is going to work kind of like they do in sports. We have the three biggest upcoming games, and we're going to guess which ones will sell the most copies. And if you guess it right, you get points. And at some point, we're going to declare a winner. Yeah, internet points. I will actually keep track of them, unlike Catsman.
Sorry.
And at some point, the winner will be declared. So okay. The games for this time is PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, New Super Mario Bros. U, and Hitman Absolution. So let's go down the list. And guess which ones will make the most money. Or try to predict it.
If you're going down the list, that's me first, isn't it?
Wait, what are the choices again?
PlayStation Brawl Stars.
Brawl Stars.
Okay, what was your guess?
My guess is New Super Mario Bros. U, because it's a new Super Mario Bros. Game on a new Nintendo console, and like, have you seen how much the previous one sold? They're like the Wii's top-selling games. No contest at all. It sold like 8 times what Super Mario Galaxy sold. No kidding.
Seriously. What's the second and third?
Second, I would put, I guess, PlayStation All-Stars.
See, that surprises me, because
I think you may have made a logic error there. Do you know why you've made a logic error?
What's the logic error?
PlayStation Battle All-Stars Royale is out on one platform. Two platforms, if you include the Vita, which doesn't sell, so is irrelevant. Yeah, whereas Hitman is on all console. Platforms.
Yeah, but
I think you might have made a logic error
but
there.
All-Stars is an exclusive, and that means that people who own PS3s are more likely to buy it.
Okay.
And I think, especially because it's lined up as being like a contender to Smash Brothers, like, that's gotten people interested in it, and it's a
very
multiplayer
much.
Game, and it's a party game, and it's a casual game, and it's not going to be a disappointing sequel to a series that everyone previously loved.
Yep.
Okay.
What about you, Christalis?
Actually, as far as which one will sell the most, I completely agree with you. The fact that this new Mario Brothers game is coming out as a release title means that anybody who's buying the Wii U is going to be buying that. Whereas, like, when the Wii came out, it was like, oh, Wii Sports is a bestseller. Yeah, because it came with every fucking system. But anybody who gets this system is going to get it. It's the same reason why Super Smash Bros. Melee was so good, because anybody who got a GameCube bought that game.
Interesting you say that. When the... I don't think it was available on release when it, was Smash Bros. A launch title for the GameCube? I know it was in Europe.
It wasn't
was
a it launch in, title, but
was
it
in the US and Japan as well?
I know that, I think Luigi's Mansion and Pikmin were... Yeah, well, Pikmin may not have been released, but they were very close.
Mm.
And
Luigi's
I know,
Mansion was.
Yes.
I know that much.
Now,
I think
I know
Rogue Squadron
out-
was...
It came out in October, and I think I got my GameCube for Christmas, and my first game was Smash Brothers.
Okay.
So, yeah. It was within 2 months of it coming out. I mean, it may not have been a release title, but that's still pretty okay. Early.
Yeah. I think we've derailed this conversation again. Do continue, happy.
I think it's, what trying, it's a bit like the Halo 3. You know, everyone who had an Xbox go, yeah, get Halo 3, because yeah. You know, that's what you get if you have an Xbox.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, it was. Now it's the latest Halo.
Christelis, what are your second and third picks?
Well, I've never really been into the Hitman series, so I don't know how popular it is, but I do know that anybody who's a Sony fanboy is going to be buying these, Sony Smash Bros. So, but at the same time, I do agree with the whole Hitman being on multiple consoles, so we might sell more. Is that going to be on Steam also?
It's on PC. Yeah, it's on Steam.
But everyone will pirate it, remember? 95%
of people pirate it, no sales. In fact, I think what you find is 105% of people pirate it, so you lose sales, you get into negative figures. So they owe people money, essentially, by the end of release.
I'm going to have to say that I think Sony Smash Bros. Is going to do second, and Hitman will do third, as far as those three.
Okay, W,
I'll take
what
that
about
gamble.
You?
I'm going to have four. Going to have to go for the same order, actually. I mean, I'm not 100% sure about second and three. I mean, I will put... the Sony All-Stars game on 2 and Hitman on 3. But that might be tough. But yeah, I'm going for that.
Is it me now?
Yeah, we're going on the list.
I'm not actually going to put New Super Mario Brothers on top, because from what I hear, most places doing the Wii U, there's normally only about, I don't know, 30 consoles per store. So, you know, I think, you know, combine that with the fact that, you know, it's a brand new console and, you know, people have got to actually pick up the game as well as the Wii U, which, you know, makes it even more expensive. So I'm actually going to put... I want to put Hitman first, you know, just because I want it to come out first. Then what? Mario.
What's the metric here, out of curiosity? Is it first week sales?
It's what would happen in Dodds' ideal world.
It's first week, and also I should mention...
Okay.
It's first week, and also I should mention, I may have screwed you guys. I'm counting only Europe and America, not Japan sales, because usually in Japan, just Final Fantasy games will always sell things that normally wouldn't sell.
Dragon Quest.
Yeah, with us, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, that makes Hitman, sense. Hitman, Mario, Sony, Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Happy's turn.
Yeah, I got Hitman. I got the same as Dodds. Hitman, Mario, All-Stars. Because I don't think the Wii U is going to do that well initially.
I think I'll go with Mario, then Hitman, then All-Stars.
All-Stars, Mario, and Hitman.
All-Stars first.
All-Stars first.
He's a brave man.
Brave man,
yeah,
indeed.
I have to
brave man. I am going to go with Mario at the top. I'm going to go with Hitman in second, and I'm going to go with All-Stars in third. Purely because there was a report that from retailers that demand of the Wii U is in excess of the Wii when it was released, and that sold out.
Right, well, I'm going to go Hitman, New Super Mario Bros. U, and then All-Stars.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. There are our predictions.
So how does this work? Next podcast, we'll find out who's the winner?
Yes, I will have done.
Are they
crunched all the numbers and stuff.
Out of curiosity.
What?
Is it all this week that they're released out of curiosity, or is it next week? Or?
No, it's in the space of this podcast and next podcast.
No, I mean, have they all been released yet, is what I'm trying to say, in my stupid roundabout, not asking that way.
Mario comes out today.
Okay. So when there's 1 week of sales for each. Cool.
The next awesome. Of the Mario All-Stars and Hitman come out the day after tomorrow. So.
Okay, cool.
And tell you what, right, after we've been doing this for a while, I'll give a free copy of Your Doodles Are Bugged to the person with the most worthless internet points.
Awesome.
But you say this, but if you give a copy before, and you never gave me a copy before.
What?
You go ahead, Moogle. Sorry, I talked over you.
Okay,
it's a question of whether something is worthless when you're getting something for it. How can it be worthless if
you're
giving me something for it?
Your Doodles Are Bugged is worthless.
Okay, so it's trading something that's worthless for something that's worthless.
So we're counting the sales from
value
for just this week or for a week after they come out?
First week.
Okay.
First week of sales.
After they come
because
out.
Because the fact that Black Friday is this upcoming Friday and holiday season's around the corner, I really think Mario is going to sell the most.
I think you'd have to be insane not to think that Mario was going to sell the most, but then again, I've been wrong many, many times throughout
my
life.
Most Nintendo games are normally slow burners, you know. They'll keep on burning over a long period of time. Yeah,
right.
They normally have good sales initially, you know, they tend to, but yeah, the reason where they really shine is still saying, like, the other day, I went into I forgot what game store it was, and Super Mario Bros. 64 DS was still like, I don't know, I think it was £30. That's crazy. That was a launch title. That was a launch title.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, Twilight Princess is still quite expensive.
It is.
Everywhere.
Well, all Nintendo games are. First party Nintendo games don't go down in price
but
when you
I
buy
think
them new.
That's
they
partially the same reason as Meteos on the PSP, because it could be used for the Twilight hack to get the homebrew channel.
Yes.
So, I think it's time now to roll into the fan fiction.
Oh, God.
So, Happy Man, what do you have for us this week?
This one was actually painful to record. It's
physically painful.
Yeah, physically. It features Ness and Lucas, and it's pretty horrible. So.
God damn it.
Why do you always choose painful ones? Can't you choose a funny one for once?
I've been trying to find them.
You've literally got more depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just, like, remembered the fanfiction. He's like, oh, God, what am I doing with my life? I think Dalby really enjoyed reading his fanfiction last week. He seemed so enthusiastic about it.
If you want to take over the fanfiction segment, you can.
No, no, I will I go think down it would into the wear, same depression. And
I think it would wear down on him eventually.
Okay, welcome back to another installment of Fanfiction Hour. This one's called Tough Me, and it's a Super Smash Brothers fanfic. Len, how dare you all you make me do this? This goes against my morals of Ness being Semi. Why you all like Lucas X Ness? Gra. Okay, enjoy the short story of Lemony Yaoi. All flames will be decapitated with a cleaver, Tilde. Ness, Tilde. Come on, I'm getting lonely, Tilde. All white, coming. Ness rinsed out his mouth 4 times and washed his face afterwards. Then, he dried off quickly and exited the bathroom. You whine too much, Ness said. So, you like it when I whine? Lucas giggled. He covered half his face with the blanket he was under. Ness, only in his boxers, climbed in and attacked Lucas, poking and tickling him till there were a few tears. Gah-ha-ha, Lucas cried. Ness, hehe, chuckled Ness. He stopped his actions and patted Lucas's hair, which made Lucas snuggle up to Ness's bare chest. Ready for tonight? Ness whispered as he kissed Lucas's forehead. Always, Lucas said with a smile. Every night it was always sex. No matter how mad, sad, stressed, or relieved they were, there was a never-ending record of before-bed intercourse. There were always loud moans that filled the bedroom from a blonde-haired boy as he was pounded by his partner, who let out the same volume as well. Thankfully, Master Hand magically made the room to be soundproof, so none of the boys' noises disturbed the hallways and the other brawlers. Still, Toon Link, who used to sleep across from Ness and Lucas, moved to a new room 2 doors down with Pikachu and Kirby, just to be safe, as he worded. Once Ness slipped out of his boxers, he licked and teased his lover's chest and went downwards, playing around with his already naked body. He eventually reached his crotch and began rubbing his lips around. Ness. Suddenly, Ness went up and pressed his body on Lucas, hugging him and placing his head beside the others. Hey, Luke, whispered Ness. Yeah, replied Lucas. Wanna top me for tonight? What did he say? Lucas had to reconfirm it. You mean, I get to be same, eh? Yep, Ness licked Lucas's neck, causing a small groan to escape. Why? Well, I want to see how it feels like. Plus, you've never fucked me before, have you? Lucas cringed when he heard Ness cursed freely. No. Well, now's your chance. Ness let his hands to fumble with Lucas's genitals. Lucas groaned and rubbed Ness's back. You don't mind if I screw you? Not at all. Both of them were already getting harder by the thought of it. Ness crawled backwards and began licking Lucas's cock, wetting it from top to bottom as it grew to its maximum size. Ah, Ness! Ah! Ness never got tired of enjoying the high-pitched noise Lucas made. It was like him, a shy, submissive boy yelping out like a girl. Who wouldn't enjoy this kind of UK? Though for tonight, this UK was going to be the same A. What... What position do you want me in? Ness asked when he stopped. Lucas sat up and cuddled with Ness. Doggy? Alright, but you gotta get me ready, Ness said. You know how, right? Yeah, Lucas knew, but never tried it before. He knew he had to lick Ness's ass first. He never tasted it, and was told it was just plain and a little salty, but he was still unsure. But now, Lucas was... hurts to read. But now, Lucas was given the chance to try it out for himself. Ness crawled off and got on his knees and hands, lowering his head to check Lucas as he moved. The blonde boy positioned himself behind Ness's backside and placed his lips at Ness's entrance. He was hesitant at first, but bravely began sticking his tongue out and licking up and down. As Ness said, it was almost flavorless, but enjoyable enough to continue. Ah, that tickles, Ness commented. Sorry, you know I never done this, responded Lucas. Just be fast and go wild with it. Lucas gulped and obeyed. He swerved his tongue up and down, rapidly and slowly, changing pace for each few seconds. The rim job continued, while Lucas's free hand also helped by gripping and rubbing Ness's member. Yes, moaned Ness. Good. Good? Lucas said. Yeah, put on the lube and stick it in, Ness said. As Ness temporarily relaxed his arm muscles, Lucas reached for the nearby tube of lubricant laying on the small counter beside the bed. He applied the necessary amount all over his cock and set the lube down, then positioned himself to place it at Ness's entrance. He went in slowly at first and began putting half of his length in. Ugh! Groaned Ness. It was a new feeling to him, but now he understood why Lucas cried during their first time. It was slightly uncomfortable and it hurt. You okay? Asked Lucas. Yeah, keep going. As the man of the relationship, he had to prove his endurance and bared the pain. Soon, Lucas was all the way in, but it still felt like there was more to go. When he pulled out and slid back in, Ness let out a quiet scream. Ah! While Ness groaned in agony, Lucas grunted in pleasure to the new feeling. All the tight pressure of Ness's insides entranced him into continuing his effort mercilessly. He carelessly whimpered with each movement he made with his hips, enjoying every bit of the moment. This thing never fucking ends. I think I'm actually gonna skip ahead of it, because this is pretty boring. Ugh! Fuck yes! Ness exhaled loudly. He knew they were both about to reach a climax. He pumped his heart on at a faster rate and began letting out all of his volume. Lucas permitted his loud, oversatisfied grunts to escape once again and bent his body over again. He kissed Ness once more, and that was the end, as roars of satisfaction echoed throughout. Ness made a mess of white liquid on their stomachs. While he felt his lover's sticky streams swim inside him again. The blonde was pulled into a tight embrace as he continued to finish his last few shots, pressing their semen-covered bodies together and enjoying each other's warm presence. They laid still for what seemed like unbelievable years in only a couple minutes, their harsh breaths calmed to lighter pants. Then, there was a hand comforting Lucas's head. Purred Lucas. Ness? Yeah? He was still in some pain from his first anal intercourse, and was reminded of it as Lucas slipped out of him. He collapsed beside Ness and relaxed his head on his shoulder, wrapping an arm on his upper chest as well. Sorry, he weakly whispered, for being rough. Ness chuckled and continued to pet Lucas. It's okay, don't worry, it felt amazing. His words caused a small grin on Lucas's innocent face as he cuddled up to Ness's neck. He shut his eyes and began to drift off. Maybe I'll let you top me again soon, Ness said. Mk! Lucas cuddled up to Ness's neck again and finally fell asleep. Ness turned over and wrapped his arm around Lucas and soon drifted off to dreamland with him. They're 10 years old! Okay, so Psychic Dash leaves a review saying, holy freaking, holy, holy Swiss cheese on rye! What? Oh my god. Oh my god. That was good. That was totally good. Exhales. Okay, now I'm going to go outside now and think about life and the choices I am making. There's one from MTT Mercado. I am torn between the oddity of Lucas going master style and how awesomely hot it was. Inori Sushi leaves a comment saying, "Dude, I never imagined Lucas being a dominant Seimei XD. Keep up the good work." And the epic Sugar Conroy says, "Man, I've been waiting for something like this for a while. I mean, Ness always being Seimei seems a little stretched because they're almost equal in power. Anyway, pretty short, but still has the feel of other lemons you wrote. I wish you the best of luck on story writing." They're 10 years old!
See, I would love to be able to just frolic all day. Instead, I just have responsibilities.
In fairness, all of those kittens are trying to get food from her belly.
Yeah.
All of them are trying to breastfeed. All of them at the same time. And she's not having any of it anymore because they're big enough not to. And look at them all. Oh, there goes dinner.
So, this is now a podcast of listening to people look at kittens.
Yep. We've stooped to that.
It might be a good time to stop. This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast made from 99% Pure Sausages. Thanks to everyone for being here, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in some undefined number of weeks. In the meantime, you can go to gatheryourparty.com for honest gaming journalism and lunchtime.org.uk for live streaming video games with gentlemen such as ourselves. And we're still doing our big old game gift giveaway this Christmas, so be there for that. Just refresh the page endlessly. Go on, do it. So, that's all. So long. Have a very happy next couple of hours. That's
this part where I say,
that's definitely the worst sign-off I've ever done.
Maybe just cut it before you get to it and have a nice couple of hours, because it was good up until then.
All I could say was, like, have a radical weekend or something, like, how...
But the weekend's already been!
How much... Yeah, but this probably won't go out until, like, midweek.
Also, can I take this dunce cap off now?
No.
Oh,
also, just leave it on.
It's not a dunce cap, it's a hat of shame.
It's in the shape of a dunce cap. It just says shame on instead of dunce.
Okay, yeah. The hat of shame.
It keeps a certain kind of strength to keep going on and on with reading the fanfictions. And I think
it's something we torture ourselves with, especially something that Happy Man tortures himself with.
He must like it, really.
It's something I torture my co-hosts with more than me, I think.
It is masochism. It's the same reason that you only play bad games on stream, isn't it, basically?
Maybe you should grab a friend and get them to play like the other roles.
Oh my
god. You play one guy and one guy, you play Nez, he plays Lucas.
Plus no.
But what if someone overheard the conversation?
I don't know if it's creepy if they just hear like Happy Man talking about it on his own.
Well, if it's
I always
on his
record
own
when
he's...
my family's out of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
You see, I
play Bayonetta. You can't play Bayonetta when someone's in the house. It's not doable.
You could, but you might get judged silently.
Silently?
Yeah, silently.
Silently?
We're English, Moogle Pies. We judge silently.
I'm half German, so...
You don't sound half German.
Yeah, I've lived in England for a long time.
Every American I meet says that they're half Irish, but I've yet to find one who sounds it.
I played Bayonetta in front of my sister. She thought it was weird. She was like, why is she riding a motorcycle up the side of a rocket? I'm just like,
because
it's cool.
You can!
God's sister is pretty cool, though. She's a pretty cool human being.
Maybe I should get her to read the fan fiction.
Please, no.
You two should read one together, you and your sister.
That might just get creepy.
Yeah, that's on the creepy level, I think.
Okay, I apologize.
It would have to be non-sexual if I ever did.
Good.
That's every
like
good
Shadow the Hedgehog trying
written.
To make toast or something. I don't know. Go find me a fanfiction about that.
I would
By
read
the way,
and I would play that.
Did you hear there's an article on Kotaku about erotic Shadow the Hedgehog fanfiction? Like, they've totally stolen our idea.
How dare
they?
Oh,
man.
Kotaku, months behind.
What if they're listening to this podcast right now? Well, not right now.
If you're listening to this podcast from Kotaku, I would like to remind you that you're not a real person. Thank you.
maybe the guy who was called Catsman earlier who joined this room, maybe that was someone from Kotaku.
Oh.
We will never know.
How low do you have to stoop, Kotaku, that you're copying us?